Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a bridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Revision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make you toast. The best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh? Yeah!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. A little bit more of a gang here today.
Hello!
Paul's still out, recuperating. He might be back tomorrow, but Eric's back.
What's up, Fred?
How you doing?
Better.
Good, good. We didn't talk about why you're out. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, it's okay. You can talk about it.
So you talk about it then.
Well, do we start now, or do you want to introduce
right.
the rest of the show?
Andy's here. Doc's in the booth. Lot to talk about. What do we have to? Well, all that owners meeting stuff still.
A couple of things happened down there, apparently.
Since the last time we talked on Tuesday, I was here with Bilo. They passed the overtime rule, and that's a big deal.
That was the convoluted thing you were talking about last week before.
Right,
you
right.
know, field goal, if they get that, then the other team gets a chance, and
right.
then it's sudden death after that.
Right.
But only in the playoffs.
Well,
maybe.
From what I understand, they're going to get it in the regular season because think about it. You don't want the first time you use this thing to be in the playoffs.
So why didn't they just vote on that at this meeting?
I don't know.
If it's a fait accompli, why not just vote on it?
This overtime rule.
Wait a minute. Are they
the
gonna,
healthcare overhaul
are, they gonna deem
are
that,
identical.
Are they deeming that it has passed?
They're identical. They were both pushed in by the president and the commissioner, clearly.
Right.
Both said, I'm laying it on the line. I want this out there. And that's how they got them passed.
Yeah.
Maybe at the expense of some details and some time and things of that nature. I think they are identical.
Yeah.
They happen in the same week. They feel exactly the same. And I have no idea how either is going
to
work out.
Andy, didn't one of the owners say that they had to pass the resolution by the commissioner before they knew what was in it?
It's a very complex proposal, and I really didn't understand it.
And I like how everybody's calling it the Vikings rule, the Brett Favre rule.
Right.
And they didn't vote for it.
Right.
They were one of the four. It was 28-4, and they were
Brett
one of the four.
Favre.
Ralph Wilson was one of the other four as well. And the Bengals. They vote against everything.
They do, it seems like.
They do. I hate
Bengals and Bills both vote against everything.
I also think it's funny how all these stories about the coaches are up in arms. Just coach the team, all right?
I saw her quote from Jonathan.
Yeah.
He was on EEI this morning. I didn't hear it because it was...
I didn't hear it either.
You know, I get here at 9, so when he's on in the 9 o'clock hour, I can't hear him. Paul would have heard it had he worked.
Right.
Because
right.
he gets here at 10.
Right.
You could have sat in your car.
I had to get in and go to work. Do you have the audio by any chance?
Yeah, he was on a pretty bad cell phone. He was pretty hard to hear.
But there was a quote, basically, that said, I pay my head coach a lot of money to make decisions. Because everybody's bitching that coaches are going to be in the spotlight and... One owner even used, apparently, Bill as the example. All the criticism he took for the 4th-and-2. Imagine if that's an overtime, a different coach, a Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. And I guess basically this morning Jonathan said, we pay our coaches a lot of money to make these decisions, just like all you other. So they make the decision. It's part of their job. Excuse me.
You all right?
I'm not really in a solving the world's problems.
It's all choked up.
It's really emotional when it comes to the overtime
rules. But some of these coaches think that they're the show.
Some of them?
How could you do something like this without consulting me first? You know, you're going to be long gone, okay?
Did someone actually say that? Now he's
you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
It's a tough issue to discuss, literally.
Something with the
not so much here and here, but right here.
We haven't been poisoned?
Yeah, who bought this lunch?
Chuck in Brighton. What are
Chuck
you trying to do to us?
When he's local, it means he could have done something to it.
Yeah.
What were you saying? Are you all right now?
I just don't understand how coaches or owners who pay coaches can pay people $4, $5, $10 million and worry that, ooh, there's pressure on them to make a decision.
But right.
That comes with the job.
What, was
it's
there
like a brain surgeon saying, I don't know if I want to make this cut. I'm feeling a little nervous. That's your job.
Was there a coach that actually said, how dare you pass this without consulting us?
Well, not in those words. Sean Payton came out and criticized it. But then all the reports are, a lot of coaches were very upset that they did this while they were out golfing. And well, you weren't going to be in the room anyway. You're not invited in the room. So what's the difference if you're on the golf course, if you're in the lobby?
Yeah.
Let's have a vote. Yeah. Your discussion with your owner, you have a vote. You're in that conversation with your owner. Persuade him to be on the no side.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if enough of you have persuaded your owners, it wouldn't have passed.
Right.
So anyway, I think it's a good deal.
The Patriots did vote for it.
I can live with it. I can live with the rule change. I don't think it's, I think it's fine.
Well, Goodell's quote was, "Don't let the desire to have perfection get in the way of progress." Basically, that this is a step in the right direction.
Jesus, wow, we're all just choked up.
This is a step in the right direction towards a better overtime format.
Right, right.
They'll work out the kinks. It's funny because I do enjoy when these things happen. The first thing fans do is, "What if?"
Right.
What if there's an onside kick and the this happens or a safety and a that happens? I love those scenarios. Yeah.
Oh, I thought
them.
You meant like what if like a previous overtime game of importance had had those rules in it.
Immediately on Tuesday, Sports Talk Radio was the what if game. And you find out apparently if the team receives the kickoff and there's a safety, the game ends. If the opening kickoff, boom. They're at their 10-yard line, the guy runs around, safety, game over apparently. Defensive scores, game over.
Because they didn't specify that about safeties or
touchdowns, game over.
Like a kick. Like if they return the opening kickoff of overtime.
Over.
Over.
Anything to 6 points. When you threshold of a touchdown, you're over. But, I guess basically they're trying to eliminate the kickers, the long field goals, that advantage. And some of the numbers, I hadn't seen these numbers until this week. The changes in the...
Will you go and work this out, whatever the hell it is?
The changes in the percentages since 93 have grown dramatically, that the team that wins the kickoff wins it, and the field goals
right,
and the evolution of the strong-legged, accurate kickers has really affected this. I found that interesting.
Yeah. Hey, if it can convince Polian to be a non-traditionalist and go for it, then...
And he admitted that.
Right. Once he looked at
how
the
come
stats,
it's okay when you clear your throat but not when I clear mine?
Well, I don't do it in the middle of talking.
You just did!
You often do. Let's be fair.
What? That was
a nut wizard stuck in there.
That was big news. The other big news is I turned the TV on Tuesday night, and my screen literally is filled with Andy Hart's head.
NFL Network.
On the NFL Network being interviewed by Paul Burmeister about the Patriots' draft needs, and they put him in this like screen, and literally his ears, you couldn't see his ears. They were outside the border of the screen.
Have you watched it, Andy?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah. He did well.
You were on team cam, right?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous. Yeah.
You were nervous. Why were you nervous?
Well, I've never done the, what do you call
it? IFB.
IFB before.
Yeah.
And I've never done American national TV. I've been national Europe, obviously, on
here
the
TV. Here he goes.
Which is, I guess, international TV, but, to bring it down a notch to just national
cable.
I've talked
to people who don't know what I'm talking about, so they don't know when I'm wrong, but,
That's a good point there. There is some truth to that. But, and then it's also, the camera is above the monitor, and the monitor has you in, like, a little box inside the monitor, and then you see the studio with them.
Right.
And then you see the B-roll, and the producer had kind of set me up. She gave me times. Sergio Kindle, I got 10 seconds of B-roll, and so try to talk to those numbers. And so I just had a lot going on in my head, and I'm kind of looking at the camera, trying to see the Kindle B-roll and see where we're at in it. And I was a little nervous.
That's a little different. A little stiff.
That's what my wife said. A little stiff, but she liked it.
Like Richard Seymour?
You know how that goes, Eric.
And then they like it when you're a little stiff. This morning, and he's on Patriots Today with B-Lo.
Well, basically, I'm filling in for the whore. The whore is not here this week, so I had to fill in.
I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Do we have a Wally Pipp situation?
Hopefully. They'll notice that I'm younger, better looking, I have hair, I don't talk as long.
But Wally Pipp was actually pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, but Lou Gehrig came in and
Paul is pretty good.
Wally Pipp
I'm
never
Lou
played again. Yeah.
Well, Patriots, Lou Gehrig?
I die
of a disease?
And Patriots Today is in HD, so it's fine for Andy's head.
Yeah,
the elongated screen.
The wide screen.
Which is how Paul fits.
Butterbox.
Yeah. That's how his belly fits in there.
Butterbox.
As far as transactions, Algie Crumpler.
Oh, they said butterbox. Kind of like butterface. Like she's hot, butterbox.
I just took Fred totally out of his train of thought. That does sort of bring up the most recent South Park episode, which was very funny.
The season opener?
The season opener, yeah.
Oh, you scheduled Woods. Time to watch it, huh?
Because it was one last night.
Oh.
So technically not the most recent.
All right.
I didn't
season opener,
night,
I mean.
But I have it on my DVR.
Involving Butters that. And, well,
Bush?
Bush, but not the president.
No, or Reggie.
Right.
Algie Crumpler is official. The Patriots have
yes.
signed the tight
yeah.
end.
We're all thrilled.
Yeah, sure.
Except for the 72 people who left comments on the blog not happy with the signing. Using this as kind of emblematic of
well, again, this
a Bill
they're
player.
Thinking, they're thinking about the same. This the same way as Patton. They
Which
still
is disrespectful to Crumpler because he was better when he was good,
yeah.
and I think he has more left. He's younger.
Yeah.
He wasn't out of football last year. He was blocking for a 2,000-yard rusher.
He's right. How old now?
And working with terrible quarterbacks.
34?
Two, I believe.
30,
he's been
32?
In the league 9 years,
oh, okay.
so 32 so would be right.
He's
but
fine.
He worked with Kerry Collins and Vince Young over the last 2 years. Not exactly Tom
right.
Brady. Not
right.
exactly let's maximize the potential of the tight end.
Well,
27
think
receptions, yeah. I believe, and 24 and 27 over 2 years. If you're going to go with the theory that Brady gets more out of guys, why not apply it yeah. to a former All-Pro tight end or Pro Bowl tight end who Michael Vick used as a security blanket? Why
right.
can't Brady?
Well,
and
I feel better.
And if he catches 35 passes, but they're in key spots, I'm
right.
good with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And if he's blocking, if he's as good or better a blocker, maybe you've upgraded a little.
Well, but I think people are probably still have the Kyle Brady signing fresh in their minds from only 2 years ago where he was in the same kind of situation. Finally, you know, he was an older guy who was a former Pro Bowler, first-round pick, came to this team and, you know, in an area of need, and people thought, oh, he's going to be, you know, a key element. And he contributed, but he wasn't, I don't think, what people expected.
But Crumpler was a better receiver at his height than Brady ever was.
Kyle Brady. Yeah.
Kyle Brady. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the number they used in the release, he's second among active tight ends in yards per reception behind Gates. He was a guy that would catch 55, 65 passes a year, 6 or 8 touchdowns, 4 straight Pro Bowls.
The other thing I think people are scared off is the reports that he's really heavy, and he's basically another tackle.
But he's always been fat. He was fat when he was a great receiver. Jermaine Wiggins was always fat. Boy could catch the ball.
So, all right.
He was literally fat when he entered the league. He was 6'2", 265, whatever, when he entered the league. He's round. That's what he is. He's never going to look like Ben Watson. He's never going to have the six-pack.
Like Charles Barkley
But you know what? Ben Watson
looked
great
court.
Until you threw him the football and it bounced off his hands.
Good point.
So that was the...
he has soft hands because he's fat.
The transaction since this week. The other big stories, I guess, from a Patriots perspective are still the contracts of Tom Brady and Logan Mankins. You know, at first it started... The story started out that, you know, he's not coming because he hasn't signed... Waiting to see what some other offers are, perhaps, you know, this is voluntary. But now it's got a little bit more heated. Now, I guess his agent is Ben Dogra. Is that true? Is that his agent?
No.
No. Who is his agent?
Were you making a joke there or just flat out wrong?
I don't know. I believe
I believe it's Bauer. Frank Bauer.
Frank Bauer. Yeah.
Yeah. Bauer came out with some...
Ben Dogra.
Well, I thought it was a joke, but clearly it wasn't. He's just an idiot.
We've done a... What the hell are they doing on TV?
Oh yep.
That's out a loud.
That's
is
a,
that what we think it
that's
is?
That's a breast, a mammogram. It
anyway.
Really kind of takes the sexiness out of it when it's searching for cancer.
I like your
anyway,
boobs.
Anyway, the stats yes! from Frank Bauer are a little bit more heated. That, you know, he's really upset. He's refusing to come, you know, and he really thought that they would come to him with a long-term offer. And
I guess
know,
I'm a little surprised, too, that he's not here. He seemed like a guy who would be...
I mean, they gave him the highest possible RFA offer they could give him.
Right.
Which is, you know, like $3.6 million. That's not bad.
No,
right?
It's not bad. Yeah. But
what,
still, he's now becoming a perennial Pro Bowl guard.
Yeah.
Right?
What's the high? Guards don't make a lot.
7 years, $49 million. About 10 of them got that contract a couple years ago.
Alan Faneca got a pretty good one from the Jets, too. Yeah.
I think his point is, and he voiced this, if you remember, seeing other people get it, and you want to get the extension, too. He saw Nick Kazier get an extension, right? Last year.
Yeah, but they didn't have the type of ability to do an RFA. You know, what the situation was completely different last year.
So they're using the situation to stick it to him.
I don't know if they stick it to him. He's eventually going to get his money.
Will he?
Sure.
What if he blows out his knee next year?
Oh, well, you know, that could happen to anybody. But
yeah, and if it had happened after he signed his $49 million contract, he'd have the bonus check in the bank.
They're not going to give him that big of money right now. They got the next priority as far as the guys here is Brady.
Brady, right.
You know, it's not Mankins. I'm sorry.
And I think he's saying, well, when me?
Okay, well,
you did the low-level guys, and you did Wilfork, and you're doing Brady. When does it get to the mid-level Pro Bowler?
There still haven't been any significant RFA offers from one team to another, have there?
There was one.
Charlie Whitehurst, the quarterback, went.
Yeah, he went. There was
that was before I left. But that ended up being a trade situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, there isn't a lot of movement in the RFA yet. You know, I think.
Surprised?
I
am a little bit.
A little bit.
that to this point there hasn't been anything really significant.
Yeah. You know, teams are still reluctant to give up those draft picks. You know. Now, there is a deadline with the RFA, right?
Week before the draft.
Week before the draft. So.
Yeah, week before the draft.
So you can't wait to see what you get in the draft and then.
No, because the picks are in the draft.
Right.
So.
I'm shocked, by the way, that you're siding on the team side and not Logan Mankin's side.
Well, I mean, I looked at the number, $3.6 million, and I was like, that's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad. But when you compare it to 7 and 49.
We'll see.
Didn't the Saints take care of Jahari Evans?
I don't know.
The other restricted free agent guard? I believe they did.
Yes.
Yeah. He's also looking at that. Hey, I'm one of the better guards on the market. The guy in the exact same scenario, restricted free agent, they took care of him. Somebody take care of me.
Right.
I think he's a baby Vince Wilfork, personally. He's done everything you've ever asked. Never misses a game. Never missed a practice. Says, is a spokesman as to the best of his abilities.
He really is.
In post-game and during the week. Everything. He's everything you want in a guard. Athletic, tough, hardworking, durable.
Kind of funny.
Kind of funny. Nice guy. He's a Wilfork situation.
Right.
So are we going to take care of him or not?
I mean, I don't think that they're doing it to be spiteful. I think there's a financial business reason why they're taking, you know, the tack that they're taking. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is we got to take care of Brady. We got to see what's going to happen with Brady. We also haven't figured out how we're going to, you know, rebuild the rest of this team. You know, so we're not willing to commit, even if it's, you know, $7 million, $49 million on this guy yet, because we just don't know how the rest of the team is going to fall.
So he says, I'm not willing to commit to the offseason program.
And that's fine.
I'll be working out cattle.
That's his prerogative.
Do you think, based on what you heard Robert say the other day, that the Brady thing will get done sooner rather than later?
I don't know. It's interesting you mentioned that, Eric, because on Pro Football Talk, Greg Rosenthal posts this story. Irsay mentions connection between Manning and Brady deals. The man set to pay Manning, Colts owner Jim Irsay acknowledged the two quarterbacks are tied together in an interview with the Indianapolis Star. We know Peyton's going to get paid along with Brady at the top of the league, Irsay said. Let's face it. This is not Irsay saying this. It would be stunning to see Brady make more money than Manning. That's why Irsay grouping the two together is significant. It's just a theory, but we think the Colts and Patriots would be well served if Brady's deal happens first. In that scenario, the Patriots wouldn't have to try to match Manning's mega deal, and the Colts could possibly use Brady's numbers to get Manning's asking price down.
Yeah, but what if Brady's camp is saying, we want to wait till Peyton signs?
I'm sure both are saying that.
So what's going to happen?
I don't know.
Who's going to blink first?
It's a game of chicken. I don't know. But
it's also a game of, sure, there's savings involved, but you know the number 100 million is involved here.
Oh, yeah.
With all the Rivers and Eli Manning.
Oh, yeah.
We know where we're going. You're not going to get him for 4 years, $40 million, like Fred wants to give Brady.
No, I said 4 years, $80
million. I know. You're not getting him for that either.
You know, that's a lot of money.
It is.
You know.
But it's not what he's worth on the open market.
$20 million a year?
No. From what I've seen, the going rate that they're projecting for Brady's, Manning's, the elite quarterbacks is 22 plus per year.
22.
So even on your thing, it's 4 years, 88. But I think it'll be more than that.
Term. Longer term.
I think longer term, longer total dollars. The per might be in that ballpark, right around 20 million. But 6 years, 7 years, 120, 140 million, not.
Mm.
It is what it is. And thankfully, Robert, in his comments, seems to be taking my approach. He's going to be a member of this franchise. How exactly we work out the details of that, he's going to be a member of this franchise.
Right.
Worst-case scenario is I franchise him on a one-year deal after the lockout or however the system works at that point. He's not going anywhere. Because if he leaves, unfortunately, I think we leave too.
Well,
I think it all comes crashing down.
Yeah. But doesn't that now somewhat have ramifications for Mankins if what Fred says is accurate? Because if he's saying, well, take care of me, but their first priority is Brady, and then they don't get to Brady for a while, does Mankins sit back in California wrestling the cows like he reportedly is doing until training camp or further or beyond? I mean,
I got to tell you, for me, it wouldn't be a comparison of Tom Brady because I'm a guard. I'm an offensive lineman. He's Tom Brady.
No, but
we're not even in the same ballpark.
You had Will Fork.
And Tully Bantakane got a $6 million signing bonus, and I'm making, Fred thinks, good money at 3.2 this year. Tully Bantakane. Right? Lee Bodden, a middling corner, a middling starting corner, not an all-pro, not a pro bowler like Mankins.
Mankins has been in the league 4 years?
Five.
This is his fifth. Right.
This was his fifth.
This was his fifth.
He's going into his sixth.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your point?
He just doesn't have the tenure that the other guys have.
Sucky tenure is better than great
and
shorter tenure?
And I think
because Tully Bantakane has sucked except for one year.
If I'm the Patriots, I think that I need to shore up cornerback. That's a little higher on my priority.
But you can make the argument that the offensive line has been one of the, if not great, parts of this team. At least they've been the most consistent and consistently good, I'd say.
And him.
And he's been the best of the most consistent area on this team, which is their job is to protect Tom Brady, and they've done a very good job of
the $150 million player. You'd think you might want to invest in that.
Yeah.
And when Stephen Neal goes down in week two with his usual injury, and all of a sudden you have
Dan Connolly and Joe
Schmo lining up because Mankins
Rich
is
Armberger.
Also hanging out in the mountains.
We'll know a lot about what they think is if at 22, 23, what are they picking?
Two.
22. 22, they pick a guard.
I would be shocked if they pick a guard at 22.
Some people speculating it could be the Marcus Pouncey out of Florida. Top center, but also could play guard, potentially. I don't see that. I don't see he'll be here. He's not going to hold out.
Belichick has said in the past, and that's why we were all, you know, surprised that year that he picked Mankins, that you can always find a guard.
He has said that.
He has said that.
But he re-signed his guard, too.
I know.
Neal.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep Stephen Neal this offseason. The only guy he hasn't re-signed is Mankins.
And he picked a guard high, and the guard actually worked out very well.
Yeah. Now you want to waste him?
You know, maybe he doesn't feel that any guard is worth $7 million a year.
How often do you draft a guard that high and he turns out to be the guy you expected?
Maybe every time with him. Maybe he knows, you know, if you're going to draft a guard high, usually he's pretty good.
Then he should not invest first-round picks in guards. If he doesn't value it to keep the guy, you're hoping when you draft him, that's what he becomes. A multi-time all-pro or a multi-time pro bowler.
Who doesn't get injured.
As soon as he's in his fifth year, you let him walk? Mm-hmm. Is that good value?
I don't know.
Don't you want first-round picks who potentially are going to be around for a decade?
Well, I don't.
And that goes back to the Will Fork argument. What kind of message does that send to the other guys? You know, he's done everything you've asked him to do. He's never missed a game.
You have to sign every guy to what that guy wants?
I thought that was what we were doing this offseason. We're not signing anyone
every
else.
Every guy? No, we've actually let a couple walk.
But it's not like these
are the crappy ones.
As Andy said, becoming
Jarvis,
a perennial all-pro. Or a perennial pro bowler, at least.
I think they'll figure something out.
And he's consistent.
Just makes for good argument.
Yeah. I think they'll
figure it out. Because not surprisingly, you're with the team. $3 million is a good money.
I mean, you know, every guy that comes up, if they don't immediately sign him and give him what he wants,
but he's a good player.
We're going to be like, oh,
I was okay letting Kelly Banta Kane walk.
I was okay
letting Jarvis Green and Ben Watson walk. I would have been okay, you know this, letting, in all likelihood, Wilfork walk, because I'm not sure the value was there. I'm not for re-signing everybody. But I think Logan Mankins is the centerpiece of your offensive line, like Vince Wilfork is the centerpiece of your defensive line.
Yeah, I think you got
it. And I thought we started in the trenches.
Right.
We do.
Now you're ready to run your best trench guy out of town.
I'm not running him out of town. They just made him an offer.
It's good. You've moved on from Brady. It's better than you're running the guard out of town than
the
quarterback.
They gave him the
highest,
the one-year offer.
The RFA tender that they could give him.
He wants the peace of mind that Vince has, and he deserves
it. Like everybody else on his line has.
Sure.
They signed Light. They signed Copen. They signed Nick Kazier. They signed Mark LeBoer.
They even signed Nick Kazier. That's right.
Dan Copen.
Forgot about
every
that.
One of them got a contract extension except the guy named Mankins.
It's unfortunate for Mankins, the timing. It's just, you know.
Yeah, he's getting railroaded.
I think
if you're going to be frugal with anybody on that line, it's not that guy.
I'm not sure.
He'll punch you in the nuts.
I'm not sure it's you know, being frugal. I think there's a bunch of factors involved.
If they're looking for an opportunity to take advantage of the timing, as you said, he's not the guy to do it with on that line. You could have done it with Kazier. You didn't have to extend Kazier.
Well, that's like no money compared to this.
But
that's nothing.
I believe he got 2 point something.
Yeah.
So it's close to what they're going to pay Mankins, which you think is good money.
No. What you're talking about is if it's in that range, $7-8 million a year. That's significant money.
He won't get that much.
You know, and
you could get him for
and
less.
A signing bonus. You know, and that could be the thing about
he will take less money. He will take a like the other guys did, Light, Cope, and all those linemen have stayed under decent deals. He will take one of those,
and
I guarantee.
And that could be the main thing. You know, we think like, oh, the total contract is equal to this and they should be willing to pay him $7 million a year, but
first of all, those 7 and 49 weren't really 7 and 49.
But the problem with teams comes with the signing bonus, obviously. And it's not so much what I'm going to be stuck with in later years. It's also how much cash do I have on hand?
Well, that,
I mean,
yeah.
If I'm going to, you know, I've already given Wilfork $24 million,
$18 million
up front. Brady is probably going to be $40 or $50 million up front, you know. These owners have a lot of money when you add it all up, and if you sold it.
Is this the Sullivan argument? We don't have the money?
Well,
I mean, either we're running an NFL franchise and we're doing business is being done, or we're not.
But you have to, if you're going to give a guy $40 million up front, you got to have the cash.
Let's sell a restaurant.
That's not the way it works.
I knew I could get it.
They don't own those restaurants.
Well, some of them they do.
Just one.
So sell that one.
I don't think it would fetch $40 million.
I don't either. What do they call that in the real estate market? Underwater, upside down?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of factors.
I agree, but I don't think on a team that's searching for leadership and chemistry.
Right.
That's the other argument here. You handed Vince Wilfork $18 million, but had you handed it to him last year, could you be handing Logan Mankins more money now? Had you spread things out and done things a little differently?
Well, the offer was on the table last year. I don't know what it compared to what he finally
but it's probably in the ballpark. So you were willing to write a check last year, so shouldn't you have more money available now? Shouldn't you have spaced things out theoretically?
I mean, I guess if you want to just say that they're really bad, you know, cap managers or whatever.
No. I think the opposite. I think maybe they're using this to manage it.
Well, that could be one of the factors.
But I'm not sure that's a good decision.
I mean,
and as Eric said, just like we talked about with Wilfork, he's been the perfect Patriot. It paid off. He's now everyone says he's going to be a leader and everything. I think Mankins is in that group.
It's unfortunate for Mankins, I think, the timing. You know, but I think they'll figure it out. Chuck from Brighton.
I'd be scared of him
when?
If I were Bill.
Chuck from Brighton is one of the is the guy that bought us lunch today. And like,
thank you, Chuck.
Like
thank
Iggy you. From Madrid, who bought it on Tuesday, he really lucked out because Paul's not here.
So that dropped about $50 off the bill.
Exactly.
This is funny because he's fat.
Because the beers add up with him. He orders a six-pack of Miller Lite every time we order.
God.
It's awkward.
What's going on over at that? You know, he has an IV bag hooked up to him, and for some reason, it's got a head. So I'm guessing that there's beer in there and not medicine.
We were going to go drink.
But Chuck says how sweet it was not to have Mr. I Hate the Patriots, Eric, Holier than thou, EEI, Lapdog, Paul, and the big empty head himself, Andy, all not on the show on the same day. Now, that was really enjoyable radio. Fred, you got your wish. Wow.
And all the negativity that's in this town sucks.
That's the thing. I don't hate the Patriots. I love that. This is the team I grew up with.
Yeah, but you're...
But I call a spade a spade.
You've gone the dark side.
It's
you're like
our
Darth
job.
Vader.
It's our job to point out what we see, to call it like it is. Is it not?
I see a pretty good team, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're in New York.
It's what I'm talking about.
They'll be on Hard Knocks.
This is what I'm talking
about.
They'll
be on HBO in August. I'm just kidding.
Yes, no, it was a good show with Bilo. Bilo is like a greyhound. You know, he's in that little box, and, you know, everyone's getting ready for the race, and then the door lifts up, and he just shoots out of there, and he doesn't
stop. I'm not the brightest
guy
in the world.
Before you finish asking the question,
he's chasing that rabbit around the track.
But he
never
catches it. He also doesn't take a breath when he talks.
No,
he's worse than Andy's fast talking.
He's unbelievable.
And the listeners are commenting, too.
Who are they? Uh-oh, Bilo. Well, they'll get more of Bilo starting next week? The Wednesday draft show?
Wednesday the 31st.
What is that show called?
In the Draft Room with Brian Lowe.
You didn't go with War Room there?
Thought it sounded too mean.
on Tuesday, I gave the listeners some homework assignments. One of them was to look up the Nut Wizard for me, the thing that picks up acorns, to see if they thought it was any good.
I tried. Mine was blocked by our porn blocker.
The other one was, how do we make the game experience better? Because that's a big...
Oh, Doc, come on. This is you.
That's a big issue with the NFL.
Mascot on a scooter with a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, with all the great things that are coming out on TV with the Red Zone and DirecTV and all that stuff, HD, you know, the teams have to keep fans coming to the games.
That's been big this week with Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, bought that Kangaroo company.
Right.
They always have those handheld thingies.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure those are... It's like $225.
Yeah.
Rather have
They only work in stadiums.
I'd rather have it delivered right to my cell phone.
I just set you up, didn't I?
Well, we'll see. But anyway.
Oh, you're not breaking news? I thought you had breaking news to offer.
Brian in Santa Cruz, California says, as far as the homework, I agree 100% with strippers. Games are just too expensive to attend nowadays. But anyhow, just a quick question for you guys today. What do you think about acquiring Algae Crumpler? They just did it.
Oh, I think it would be a good move.
Yeah.
I think it's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Brilliant! Brilliant!
I'm not sure I want him to be my only tight end, along with, Robbie Agnone.
Yeah, they can't. They can't. They'll have to draft somebody at the very least.
You've fallen in love with a tight end in the draft.
Well, I haven't seen the tight ends yet, but you told me about this guy.
I thought
you told me you saw him.
You said you came by this morning and said that there was a tight end who was hurt last year, but looks promising.
No, I talked about Shipley. I mentioned
Shipley. Yeah, Jeremy Shipley, you said. Right, and
you did.
Jason Shipley, I think, is what he said.
Jordan Shipley.
Right, there you
from
go.
From Texas.
Right.
Yeah, I liked him. I liked a couple of the wide receivers that I saw.
So you've been watching the
film?
But
I haven't seen the tight ends yet. The stupid DVDs keep freezing in my computer.
I've been having trouble with those DVDs.
I haven't
had any.
Really?
Huh. Getting them started has been the problem. And then if you just sit there and watch and don't move your mouse or hit any buttons or anything, it freezes and it goes to black. I don't know what. It's weird.
Yeah.
Did you see Urban Meyer bullying the media?
No.
There was a wide receiver on the Gators that had a quote last week that he clearly didn't intend to take a shot at Tebow. But in talking about the new quarterback, he said, you didn't know what Tim was going to do. It's nice to have a real quarterback or something.
Right.
And I guess the guy felt bad about it once he read it, and it kind of took off a little bit. And Urban Meyer went after the reporter, telling him he was going to ban him from practice. He'd warned him, you're a bad guy, you're a bad person, you're a bad this. Just going on a bullying high horse. Ugh. Why don't you go take a leave of absence? That actually happens.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought when I heard that quote.
Kid said it. So now as a reporter, you're not supposed to report what they say?
Right.
It's funny. I think Urban Meyer likes all the press that Florida gets when it's leading to his $5 million a year contract.
Right.
You can't take the heat, get out the kitchen. That stands for the coach,
well,
the player,
he would
everybody.
He'd say he's sticking up for his player. He can take the heat.
And that's fine. He's sticking up for it. So he's threatening to
kick
the guy out for quoting. No one's arguing that whether it was said or not.
Right.
The quote was said, the guy wrote it, and now he's going to get kicked out of practice and not allowed to interview players?
Right, it's a little bit drastic.
Urban Meyer, go home and cry to yourself. That's embarrassing.
Wow.
Well, that's embarrassing.
So ridiculous.
I'm sick of these people that the media, when it helps them, is great. But if the media does one thing they don't like, all right, kick them out. We're not going to let you cover us. Well, you know what? Go work for $5 an hour somewhere in a restaurant. Because that's ridiculous.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is
in a related Gator issue.
Related Gator?
See, Tebow is denying the report on Pro Football Talk that he wanted to pray during the Wonderlic.
Right.
Somebody told him to shut the F up.
Right.
He called Mike Florio. Got his agent to connect with Mike Florio and called him and talked to him for like 7 minutes and said, of course, as Tim Tebow has to, I'm a man of my word. If I say something, you can count on it, blah, 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 and says not one word of it was true. Florio not so sure because he trusts the source.
Yeah.
Doesn't think
it
was made
up. Well, there might be like a, you know, a nuance there that
Well, Tebow
both
says
sides
he was only talking to Max Hall, which is appropriate. Where did he go? BYU. Yeah. Us God people got to stick together. And maybe he said something to Hall and somebody overheard it. And that maybe, a little...
Right.
So there's probably some truth somewhere in the middle between the two reports, but.
Exactly.
Tim Tebow at it again. Now I know why he's so arrogant.
Deanna in Detroit says, Fred, many thanks for hosting such a great show. B-Lo and Reese were great. It was so refreshing to have discussions about substantive topics. I didn't even miss the other guys.
Oh,
well, I didn't miss you either. Who's this?
Deanna in Detroit.
Please.
Deanna.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
BFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Tuesday's edition of BFW in Progress featured Fred flying solo. Well, Hilo is there.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Everything seemed to be going well until this topic came up.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I think you can find that at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I just like $49. I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
Now, back to the Nut Wizard. Fred, and hopefully the rest of the PFW boys.
All right, web radio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482.
So you're looking to get your nuts without bending over or having to get down on your knees to get your nuts.
I don't want to break my back or my balls.
So you can't look down and see the nuts is what you're saying.
Right.
How many nuts do you have?
A lot of acorns.
You know, you have something, I think, that would be just as effective, and you wouldn't have to pay $50. You
already
have
it.
A sun. Yeah.
I said that on Tuesday, and he goes, then I'd have to yell at him because he'd do a half-assed job.
But see, that's his excuse for everything. You're enabling Connor to grow up not to be.
Well, I think it's too late now. He's in high school.
I put my hand through a door the other day.
In anger?
I didn't mean to, but I did. I was,
What do you mean?
No, he just.
Don't even know my own strength.
I told him
or how cheap the door is.
No, it was one of those doors that had like panels, you know.
Yeah.
And so I told him to take a shower. You know, I don't want to take a shower. You know, just come back from practice.
You didn't want to take a shower?
This is the laziness. So I said, it's not even a discussion. Get in there and take a shower. So he gets in there and he slams the bathroom door. So as he was slamming it, I went to push it open and my hand went right through the door. You know, wood everywhere.
Nikki must have loved that.
Yeah, what was the reaction from Nikki? Does she know?
She was, yeah.
Or did you fix it before she got home?
I fixed it, but no, she knew.
Because you're both at fault.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that would have been a perfect opportunity to say, oh, you don't want to take a shower? Good, go outside, get a rake. And
yeah, you're already sweaty.
Yeah.
Let's work a little.
Let's see.
Get over here and get my nuts.
So you're going to be a real disciplinarian when you have a kid, Eric?
If I ever have a kid, who knows?
But
about putting the cart before
the horse.
I know,
seriously.
William Berry writes in, Paul's favorite emailer, at first when I heard it was Fred and Bilo, I cringed. But having a show away from all that negativity was good.
Objectivity.
Now my idea about game day entertainment. End Zone Militia has a guy with a sword leading it. Replace it with an air cannon that shoots T-shirts.
Woohoo!
Also, put him on a Segway. Seriously, I can spend mucho dinero to see the players
man on a Segway
standing around during a timeout, or I can pay nothing and during a commercial use my private bathroom. Unless you allow the fans to rape and pillage or something, I can't legally do at home. Why would I pay?
Whatever happened to that contraption they had in a couple of preseason games? Either maybe not this year, but a year,
the
couple of years ago. No, they had couches. Or like reclining chairs on the field, on the Patriots sideline.
They tried doing that.
Didn't work out?
Didn't work out. Back on negativity, I missed the season. Can Eric do an open where he explains why John Rook isn't there, then ask callers to try to talk him off the ledge? I don't know. What
the hell is he talking about?
Is John Rook on the ledge?
Is he talking about me being on the ledge or Rook?
I don't know. And this is from Adam. Enjoyed the show with Bilo and Reese. It would be nice to get Reese for a few minutes on a weekly basis. One, the NFL needs to make it more convenient for fans to attend the game. Ticket and merchandise prices are fine, but don't gouge in areas like parking, food, and beverage. This pisses off fans more than anything, and over the next 10 years, with in-home technology improving so fast, they need to start pleasing fans ASAP.
I wonder how old Adam is, because ticket prices are fine.
But I think his point is, you get something for the ticket. You don't get anything for the parking other than a normal parking spot, like anywhere else.
The parking is that
hurts.
That's burglary.
I mean, because people forget about, like, that's a lot of money. If you go to 10 games, $500 just to park.
When I grew up, the tickets didn't cost as much. The best tickets didn't cost as much as it costs to park here now.
That's the worst one. Because like he says, you expect it, the T-shirts, at concerts, wherever you go. That stuff is expensive.
That's taking advantage.
But parking is just.
Because you have nowhere else to go.
Right.
You have to pick one of those
And you do
lots.
When it's all 50.
Exactly.
Improve communication infrastructure. Fans want to interact with the outside world during the game. I've tried to use my BlackBerry and iPhone during games at Gillette, and they are painfully slow, if not completely inaccessible. People want to check their fantasy teams, Twitter feeds, and send pictures and videos. PFW in Progress needs to bring video to the podcast and live show. I know that you guys have a face for radio, but I think being able to see the interaction between
Paul.
All of you will add another dimension to the show. One thing you may want to try to get those two to stop bickering is to bring others into the studio, NFL experts, Patriots staff, Pats and PFW fans. And finally, the Nut Wizard looks legit. Lots of positive reviews for it out there. It will pick up all the nuts you want. So
we'll want a stripper's girls. Probably for cheaper.
More feedback.
That's VIP strippers.
Manly men of PFW and Eric, I'll keep this short and sweet. Jesus Christ, somebody slip a Valium Xanax or Elephant Tranquilizer into Belo's Pepsi for the love of God.
I have some Vicodin left over.
Yeah, save those. We might need them.
I have never heard Belo on the radio. Maybe it's because I have better things to do, like rake moss out of my lawn, than listen to the Fantasy Lowdown. But that guy never shuts up. Seriously, I wonder if he even took a breath the whole show. He talks faster than food passes through Andy's intestinal tract, which is no good for anybody. I never thought I would say this, but please, Paul, Andy, Eric, get back to the show as soon as you can. My ears can't take another 2 hours of that. All ball busting aside, keep up the great work.
Don't listen to the latest Prospect Review podcast then.
Oh, yeah, you were solo?
Belo.
Oh, Belo was there too?
A lot of Belo. And since I hosted, I was kind of tossing to him. And
Yap.
He went right into Fantasy Lowdown mode where he just started spewing players.
Yeah, wow. He was spewing. He was spewing, and Fred's a nut wizard.
Wow.
John is from Belgium, but he's living in Spain, though.
You know what they call waffles in Belgium?
What's that?
I don't know. I forgot, but I saw it on TV.
Belgian waffles?
No, they don't, because they actually have a name for them, because Belgium waffles are different than
what they make in Belgium.
Waffles. Might have been modern waffles.
Wait, so the Belgian waffles
you'll
we
watch anything
get
if it's on
a certain area, and they may not even really be from Belgium. And there's a different kind of waffle they have that's denser and more like brownie thickness type.
Because the Belgian waffles that we get are pretty thick.
But they're, thick inside. Belgian waffles are, they're big, but they kind of crisp on the outside, get a little airier on the inside. It was a very interesting show.
Huh. HD?
Of course.
John writes in, loving today's show. You're the only one who could pull it off being on the show by yourself. This must have been the other show. Andy struggled last week doing the 10-minute roster report. Just goes to show how
he feeds on
comments of you guys looking for something he can twist and make a childish remark.
Well, that is true, but it's also true. All I had to talk about was Algie Crumpler, a reported signing of Algie Crumpler. It wasn't even official yet.
I was actually really surprised to see his big head fit on the video on NFL.com during the Patriots On the Clock. We Europeans have to watch videos online to get any information, unlike Andy, but was even more surprised to see him being professional. Well done.
Thank you.
Anyway,
I'm multi-talented.
I think you should get rid of the other guys. They were the reason I switched to Shop Talk last year. Just kidding. Love the show. Love the arguments. I do think that most fans can relate to Fred the most, though, because he's such a homer. I almost always agree
with
you.
That's why they need us.
Except when you said you would root for the Colts rather than the Saints. That was just stupid.
And we're going to tell it to you like it is.
Please tell the Shop Talk guys to ship me my calendar and Gillette Fusion. What, Doc, do you know anything about that?
I don't remember him winning.
Is this something that he should be
And
shipped?
Let's be honest, it was a short
anyone
list.
That,
so.
Anyone that listened to the show won. So.
Yes, send him something if he listened.
Especially
he
Fred in Foxborough, right?
Is that cornhole?
Shop Talk is like Patriot Place. Everybody wins.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say something different there, and I wasn't all that comfortable.
LT from Adelaide. Imagine my surprise when I logged on to the NFL.com website and saw Andy Hart's head not fit into the camera. That initial surprise was then superseded by a second surprise. I was expecting to see immature Andy with a crazily high-pitched voice, but instead got low-voiced, professional Andy.
They don't know my versatility.
He must be a great actor. I wonder why the NFL Network didn't call Mr. Scalavino or Mr. Perillo.
Well, they probably called their office phones and got the voicemail, since neither of them have worked in over a week.
I would have loved to see the cameraman's reflection of Paul's off of Paul's forehead whilst he picks an argument with no one in particular, high on painkillers following his Achilles surgery. listening to that draft segment on the NFL Network, I just wanted to ask Andy if he truly believes that the Patriots will target a pass rushing linebacker with that number one pick.
Yes.
Or will it be a case like last year where Bill will sit and not pick that player? Do you think that had Bill taken Everett Brown in last year's draft, he would have been an impact player for the Patriots last year?
Not based on what he did in Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the system would have helped him. Maybe it would have been different. Maybe
he's
he would have had
size.
More,
he's small.
But maybe he would have had more opportunity to play. Maybe he would have gotten some of the sacks that Tully Bantakane got.
That's true.
Or,
if he played the Bills and gotten five in two games like Tully Bantakane, he might have had more sacks.
Who knows? But
Keep up the great work, all you guys. Kudos on Fred to Tuesday. I think his solo shows are the bomb. But please, could you place a muzzle on B-Lo? As Andy Hart says, he is good in small amounts like Mike Wright. But seriously, if there was ever a diminishing return part of the Patriots organization,
wow.
Come on. Wow. Poor B-Lo.
Wow. Well, it started out okay. The first few were get rid of Paul, Andy, and Eric, and Fred and B-Lo were fine. And
yeah,
then
we have a groundswell,
yes,
if you will.
It's gone in the other direction.
I just want to duly noted, by the way, that
duly noted.
Paul and I had surgery on the same day for different reasons, obviously, but I had a tumor removed from my head, and I'm back here on the show in less than a week.
Right.
Paul had surgery on his foot.
I know.
It's true.
And he's still home.
Well, he sent me an email that said he might be here tomorrow. The problem is he can't fit his pants on. It has nothing to do with his boot, but he can't fit his pants.
That guy in a little coat.
I'm just teasing.
I told him just come in shorts. It would be kind of funny, too.
Nobody wants that. You know,
his boxers.
But you've heard from Paul.
He'll
is he doing all right?
Shorts on. His leg will be up, and stuff will be hanging out.
Well, he did tell me I might have to meet him at his car to carry in some small chair he needs to put his leg on—a special chair.
Oh my God, he can't carry it.
Well,
he's
I'm sure
crutches.
The crutches would impede that.
Why?
Fred.
He's got a boot. You don't need crutches.
He's got both, I think.
Really? Yeah,
he's got the boot and crutches. I'm not sure he can put full weight on it yet. I mean, with him, that's
that's what got him in there in the first
right.
place.
That's more pressure than a pit bull's jaws.
Brady's pit bull's jaws?
I didn't say Brady's, but anything.
He got so uncomfortable so quickly.
No, Brady's is nice. Brady's
we talked
fine,
about
right?
I don't agree with...
You don't agree with his having a pit bull?
Why a pit bull? Why do you need a pit bull?
Trying to look manly.
You know?
Sick of being made fun of for being a metrosexual. I don't know.
Sean writes in, a quick email from the UK. Love the show. Looking forward to hopefully hearing about some good signings in the draft. Great show by Fred Tuesday on his lonesome.
I love how
he's
he
not
gets,
on his
he
lonesome.
He wasn't
by
two
himself.
People.
B-Lo and Mike
was
Reese
in the studio or was he on the phone?
No, Reese was on the studio. I mean,
so
on the phone. On the phone. He's calling in.
But you had somebody in studio with you.
Oh, yeah, B-Lo was here.
So it wasn't a real solo show.
Paul was himself.
Struggled through a real solo show.
I did, well, the end of the show, the last half hour, I did myself.
But that's easy.
The last half hour?
And all you did was ask for homework questions or whatever.
And you probably read emails that you didn't read the first hour and a half.
What with the draft and free agency, it seems from the last month or so that we're in the market for a player in nearly every position. Which positions do you feel we definitely don't need to sign someone in?
Definitely don't. Kicker.
Yep.
Don't
need. Long snapper. I think we're okay there.
It's a short list.
Very short list.
Yeah, I think your best player available, really.
But luckily we have 12 picks because I think they're going to have to use them all again like they did last year.
I'm of the belief you don't need a running back. You have NFL-caliber running backs. People aren't happy with it.
See, I don't think you need one in the first round, but I think you need it to draft a running back.
So who's out?
Huh?
Who's out?
Any one of those guys, really.
Come on, you have to make a choice.
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd take the potential over what I know I have in, you know, Maroney.
You really think that there's potential in the league to be a feature back for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
No, but I know there isn't for Maroney.
No, okay, but, you know.
But that's my point. That backfield with Lamont Jordan instead of Fred Taylor but was very productive 2 years ago, 2,300 yards. It's good enough. Mm-hmm. You can't say that about third receiver. You can't say that about pass rusher.
Tight end.
You can't really say it about inside linebacker where you were lucky to get by with Mayo and Guyton. The secondary, I think you don't necessarily need bodies. I think you have guys back there who can play. I don't know if Wilhite gets better, if Butler gets better, if Merriweather gets better, but I think you could get by without bringing anybody in
Sanders
there.
Sanders is on the downside of his career.
No, he's not. I thought we had a very astute comment on one of the blog entries that said James Sanders could start for any team in the NFL. And I was thinking, except the one he's on.
I think he meant UFL.
That's where Shane Waldron landed.
I know.
I did a whole jumbo update.
Jumbo news. I saw that.
And somebody called him Medford elitists or something.
TG writes in, I've been watching all the great video on the website, so I have a couple of questions. First, what happens to Andy Hart when the camera is on? Where is that bubbly personality we hear on the radio? It seems he just turns into a stiff when he's in front of the camera.
It's a different format.
But give him a microphone and it's no holds barred. Dare I say Paulie has more video presence. I can hear the fat jokes
now. No, he doesn't. Well, I've seen
presence.
Maybe.
That's true.
But I think that you are a lot more, I guess, professional when you're on TV.
Obviously.
But I think you could loosen up a little bit.
Oh, I know, but this was a different case. I already admitted I was nervous. First time I've done the IFB thing, all that stuff. But you have, I mean, what was that segment? A minute and a half?
No, it's so short.
That's why I hate TV. It's so packaged and segmented and A block and this, everything's good. I love radio because you can just talk. You have 2 hours to react, joke, interact.
Yeah.
If I guarantee you, if
TV
I did a
so canned.
If we did a 1 hour show like what's the show on ESPN where they do the back and forth and all that, the talk, no,
PTI.
PTI?
No. Well, that
around
too.
The horn.
Any of those shows where that's the format, I would be the same person, but when we're analyzing games or when we're analyzing even with B-Lo, let's talk about wide receivers and tight ends. We want to go about 2 minutes here. Well, you don't have time for a wise ass remark because then you won't actually talk about any wide receivers or tight ends.
Right.
So that's why you guys are seeing my versatility.
I
can be the clown for 2 hours, I can be Mr. Serious on NFL Network.
I don't think you have to have wise-ass remarks.
Or BBC.
But a little bit looser.
Well, I already said I was nervous on that. I'm looser on PFW and Progress TV. We have fun on that show. We joke around
that's
on
true.
That show.
That's true.
And that's kind of a blend of the two, analysis versus, you know, just chatter.
Right.
I'm not a clown like you are on that show, but
I'm a clown. I mean, wow. I amuse you?
Not really. You're a bad clown.
Fred Kurtz, Paul
obviously.
Pirillo, Andy Hart. Here we go, boys.
That's coming around the corner. We're going to have that show this year?
I don't know. We'll figure
Comcast?
It out. We'll figure it out.
Comcast? For sure?
We'll figure
I'm
it
talking
out.
To myself here, obviously. No one in any way is influencing what I'm saying.
We'll figure it out the week before the first game.
That'll be good for us to get on Comcast. No? Yes? What are you doing?
You'll be on Comcast Sportsnet.
Yes. Nice. That's big.
He's all of his 25 employees are working on it for us.
Thought he had 50.
Can we get a raise since that's probably going to bring bigger ratings? Who do I need to talk to? Everybody looks down when I look at them.
Yeah, the head shake will stop all of a sudden.
Yeah, they all just look down like they got to move on to the next topic.
We do. The second item.
Next topic.
Ratings bonus.
Yeah, I want a ratings bonus. If we average a 1 on Comcast, I want, what should I ask for, Doc? Give me a number. $2,000?
$2,000. I'll give you $10.
An episode.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
An episode?
You want to make $5 the hard way?
I would take the $10 an episode. It would be a raise.
The second item is the Bill Belichick interview. What I got out of that entertaining bit was not so much from Belichick himself. He stayed true to form. But what it really gave us was a little insight into how it is for your peers. To watch Tom Curran, Mike Reese, and the rest of your media pals doing their job was intriguing to say the least. I just wanted to walk up to that table and tell them to stop asking questions we all know Belichick isn't going to answer. I got the feeling the poor guy was being interrogated. People hate...
Poor guy?
Yeah.
Belichick? The poor guy?
People hate Belichick for his negative demeanor, but I say to them, put yourself in his place. You're trying to run a football team, and for brunch, you have to sit at a round table and get grilled by a dozen reporters asking the same questions that both you and they know you can't give a truthful answer to. Sometimes I
wish... No, not can't.
Sometimes I wish they could just talk football without all the probing questions in regards to the team.
It's the job.
I know. It's their job. They just got to try to get something. But you finally get the coach in a relaxed setting, and you hit them like it's midseason. It's okay, Tommy Curran and Mr. Reese. Even if it's a bit of fluff, we fans are going to eat it up anyway. Besides, we all know the coach's answers already.
But for the most part, yes. But every once in a while, he answers a question.
And you don't know when that's going
to
be.
So you have to keep asking.
Well, I think the Tim Tebow one was a good example of that. You know, he usually doesn't
sort of.
Well,
say certain things about certain players unless he really likes them.
Or
and
unless
now
he's...
we know that he really likes Tim Tebow.
Oh, we've always known that.
Yeah, he might really like him, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to
Yeah.
You have an interest in drafting
nose tackle.
Right.
And he'd be a great nose tackle.
I thought there was one person there in particular, and I'm not going to mention
Eric's idol.
That
Eric's idol?
Absolutely came off like Mr. Pompous.
As I said, Eric's idol.
Not my idol.
And it was just.
He's from Rhode Island as well.
Is that who you're
I'm
talking about?
I'm not mentioning any names.
How about states?
He has a beard.
I'm not mentioning names.
His paper rhymes with crow ho.
Paul writes it.
Name
do you think
rhymes
Tyrone
with
McKenzie
Bim?
Has any kind of future with the Patriots? And are there any non-starters or special team players you can see becoming
McKenzie?
A starter?
Certainly has a future if he's healthy. I think he could be your starting inside linebacker
yeah.
next to Gerard Mayo.
Is that right?
I do.
Well, we thought he was going to be that in his rookie year
yeah.
before he got
we
hurt.
We knew that they were very high on him.
He's a friend of the program.
But
yeah.
based on tape you've seen?
Yes.
Or just
I think his style of play, things people have told me, everything.
And what they have on the roster at the moment.
And
he has an opportunity.
I think he's better suited for the position, theoretically, than Gary Guyton. And I think those three guys are going to be in the mix
you
in
know,
there.
Do you think that because he knows Belichick, he has a young guy like McKenzie coming up because, you know, Sean Crable, this is it for him. You know, that's another factor that he decided, you know what, I'm going to spend more time with the defense this year. And he clarified that a little bit with Mike Reese and the rest of the reporters. He said, my workload is not any more than it ever was. It's just shifted. I've been here for 10 years and my workload has never changed. That's what he says.
I think I got the impression from that he meant whatever the number is, if he works 18 hours a day, he's worked 18 hours a day for 10 years, right? Is that how you took that?
That's how I
It's yeah, just whether it was 6 hours on offense,
yeah.
6 hours
on
running back.
The work that he does is the same.
Right.
It could be
he's not going 24-7 now because
right.
he doesn't have a coordinator.
Right. That's okay. how I took it.
That's how I took it, too.
Right.
I just want to make sure.
And then he also said something that was interesting. You know, he said, as it starts – I'll be paying more attention to defense. We'll see how that goes. May not be the same in the middle of the season.
Right.
But to start things out, to make sure, he said, to make sure things start the way I want them to start, or those kind of words,
right.
That's the way it's going to be.
But it just seems like it's...
He could do that if there was a coordinator, too, you know.
Yeah.
No,
right?
I know.
Right. That's irrelevant. He can show up in the meeting.
Well, he had a coordinator, and he got rid of him.
Did he get rid
of
him?
But now he has no coordinators.
He got rid of him?
I think it was a mutual thing.
I do, too.
Yeah.
That's not the same as
That's
getting rid of him.
Well,
it was a mutual thing because if he stayed, you're not going to be a
coordinator. It's kind of like when our webmaster left, a mutual thing.
Okay.
But I mean, you go through a season kind of football, more so probably than any other sport, is dependent for success on routine. You know, coaches like to have their – You know, you come in on Wednesday, you work through Friday, you have a routine, 1 o'clock Sunday. That's why they don't like when there are night games or Monday night games because it changes your routine. Players, I think, fall into that category, too, where they know they have a routine. They know where things are coming from, who they're getting things from. If you start out the season where, okay, Bill's involved, and then sort of it changes midseason or somebody else is calling the plays, there's that air of uncertainty, however slight or subconscious, I think it has an effect on the psyche of the team.
Well,
it does
to a certain
Eric's
degree,
right.
But it depends on what Belichick is talking about. You know, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to change. He may not even be right now thinking about once the season started. In his mind, all he might be thinking about is getting them prepared for the season.
Yeah, but
that's his
the season's going to be here soon.
No,
and
I know
then he's going to have to.
But you know, putting the system in place, making sure every player knows what they're going to be asked to do. You know, roles and responsibilities, getting all that set, getting the philosophy of the defense in set. Maybe that's what he means by the involvement, but the day-to-day calling plays, coaching will be the same as it's always been.
But what Eric is talking about, I think, is everybody at the combine, Scott Pioli, everybody in that room knows who the boss is. Yeah, everybody knows all along who the boss is. Bill Belichick, he's
right.
always the boss.
Right.
It's always the bottom line.
Right.
But if...
I'm the boss.
Man.
Need the info.
If... Matt Patricia is calling the plays, let's just to use a name. Somebody's
right.
got to call the defenses,
right.
be kind of the point man.
Right.
But he's also the position coach with the linebackers, and he's telling Tyrone McKenzie, you're doing a great job, I like the work I'm seeing from you. But then on Sundays, Tyrone McKenzie isn't playing, and he talks to Matt Patricia, it's not really my decision, it's Bill's. There's
things start to get crossed and get in the way there.
Well, that could be a problem.
And it happened last year when they had a coordinator. I know for a fact people didn't necessarily know who was making the decisions in terms of game day personnel on the defense, and it had an adverse effect, in my opinion, on the team.
And even on offense, when we heard that there were different guys calling the plays during
the year.
Who's
calling them this week? Oh, good, Casario's calling them. He likes me.
Yeah, right. No, there's an element of uncertainty that's unsettling.
You know, that situation that you just described could be a problem, especially, you know, I've heard of cases where, you know, the position coach often has to play the good cop.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, even though he's playing the good cop, it's still not good for the player. The player, you know, wants to know what his, you know, standing is with the team, and they don't want to hear it secondhand from somebody.
And if there's any,
I don't think Belichick would do it that way.
But if there's any weakness we've consistently questioned with Bill Belichick over his career, it's the communication thing. It's popped up enough times from Bledsoe and Ted Johnson through the years, Adalis Thomas. You know, obviously these guys were all upset at different points because they didn't know their role or what was going on and who talked to them.
It's one of the few things he's not good at with running a football team.
I would say maybe the only thing. I think communication may be his only weakness.
The problem is that's a pretty big weakness to have. If you're going to have any, that's a big one.
Especially if people don't really know what the line of communication is because you don't have coordinators.
Yeah. If you're not good at coordinating road trips, well, that's what you have the, you know, the assistants for and the football ops people for. But communication,
as Peoli
starts
says,
from the top down.
Everyone knows who the boss is, but if you don't know what the boss is telling you to do, or you don't have a line of communication,
or you're getting
to
conflicting
the boss,
reports,
you don't know what's going on.
And then, like you said, one week your position coach is saying, "We love it, you're doing a great job," but the next week another position coach is calling the shots, and he might not like what he sees out of you, and he's telling you something different. It just it seems like there's too much of that
uncertainty.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll find out. I mean, we'll see how it runs. We'll see.
I think the roles, I think he's going to be, in fact, because of all this, very careful early on to establish what the roles and responsibilities are.
For players or coaches?
For the coaches and the players. That's why I think he wants to get involved early on to make sure that this isn't an issue once the season starts.
And it also ties into what everybody's talked about, chemistry and leadership.
Yeah.
I don't think these issues would flare up as much if you were dealing with all Mike Vrabels, Richard Seymour's, Ronnie
Harrison.
They
don't need all that.
But you're dealing with Sanders in, Sanders out, McGowan in, McGowan out, Merriweather immature, Jarvis Green's in, Mike Wright's in, Tully Bantakane's in. There was a lot of moving parts.
I brought up McKenzie and Crable. You know, two young guys. You know, McKenzie was, what, a fourth-round pick?
Third.
You know, Crable was a second-round pick.
Third.
You know, well, I thought he was second.
Third, I believe.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other guy.
Crable was a third.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy?
Marquise Hill. He was a second-round pick.
I believe he was.
He was.
You know, so, you know, they think that these guys might be able to contribute, but
do you think they still do about Crable?
Well, this is it. This is it. If not now, never, really. This is his last, you know.
He's the only guy they've drafted really high for the position. Well, not really high, but higher.
Yeah, yeah.
And he fits the mold. He's got the size and supposedly the speed and everything, the length, everything you want. But I don't know how you count on him.
He's got to make it through training camp at the very least.
Yeah.
If he gets injured in training camp, I think he's done.
That's it.
I got to tell you, the first day I see him, if I see him miss a practice, I'm writing him off.
Right.
I'm done.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Randall Gay a few years. He was always hurt. Sure, but even he had some production. Remember he had the flashes early in his career, and then he was always hurt. You got nothing from Crable. Nothing.
An undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU.
Skinny legs.
And, you know, you can't get better unless you're playing.
Eric's a big fan of the new headphones. He can walk all the way across the room with his headphones still.
All right, let's take a quick break. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We'll be right back.
Call or email PFW in progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
Fresh Hot. It sounds like he was talking about Tank. Some porn movie or something.
The drink, you know.
You like to start the day.
508-7482, web radio at patriots.com. Sam in Chicago.
Eric's girl.
I have a suggestion for a new bit. This
at
is
the
your
end girl.
Of the show.
If she's a girl,
it's called Fred's Pump.
Whoa!
What?
I thought of this after your positive show last Tuesday in the absence of the usual crew. The show would go as usual with Andy attacking Eric, Paul button hooking everything, and you trying to prove your point. Then you, Fred, would get the last 15 minutes of the show to pump Patriots Nation up and remind us how lucky we are to have such a great team. I felt great after the last show. Thanks, Fred.
So you pumped Sam last show.
Pumped her up. Oh, there's a lot of emails.
A lot of pumping going on.
And we only got 45 minutes. We got to do picks today.
You know what that made me think of is Austin Powers when he goes to collect his stuff out of like the...
That's not mine.
That sort of thing is in my bag.
That's not my bag.
The certificate signing that definitely is mine. And the book.
One book.
As funny as that is, unfortunately, he signed on? He's going to do another one. There's no way that'll be good. No way.
Really?
No way. It's been so long since the last one.
Sweet. What book are we talking about?
Austin Powers. Has signed on to. Well,
oh, they're going to do another one?
Myers has signed on for another one.
Yeah.
Just let it go. They were good.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, let's
exactly.
move on. Yeah. Just because the flying carpet guy sucked and he had a bunch of bombs, you can't revisit it. You can't redo that. It's like David Patton.
They did
we're not living
them,
in the past here.
They did three of them.
And they were funny. I don't really remember all of them.
The two wasn't that great.
Yeah, I thought the first one was really good. It has a lot of memorable lines.
Well, the first one was...
Is that the one I'm talking about with the pump?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of vagina.
Right.
I don't even know what this is. This sort of thing ain't my bank, baby.
Yeah.
That's Fred.
Somebody's playing a prank on me.
Right.
How did this get in here? I'm telling you, baby, it's not mine. Honestly, it's not mine.
He's talking about the Nut Wizard right there.
Right.
No, there's a lot of good sequences in that movie.
Great.
Brooklyn
the man groomer.
That's not mine. I'm not hairy, baby.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, with the arrow on his chest. That's Fred when he takes a shirt.
See, you guys don't know this, but the first time I brought the man groomer on the road,
Wait, you brought it on the road?
Why do you bring it on the road?
Well, no
you grow overnight? Wait a minute. You grow hair between when we leave Saturday morning?
I use it like 3 times a year.
So why do so you only travel 10?
The best time to do it is in a hotel bathroom.
Do you leave a mess? Do you leave hair everywhere?
No, I don't leave a mess, although I did clog up the tub once.
So you left a mess.
But I had it in my bag, and the batteries were in, and it turned on. It was going the whole time.
This thing's battery operated?
Sir, yeah, your back is vibrating. Could you open it?
Well, I don't even know what this is. This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Sure, it was a man groomer.
Fred Shenanigans ordering his son to shower and putting his hand through the door was the greatest story ever told in the history of web radio. Then he cluelessly asked the ridiculously passive Eric if he's going to be a disciplinarian with his kids. You could hear Eric's spirits drop in his deflated tone as he was mentally weighing his odds of reproducing and defeatedly mumbled, oh, who knows. And Andy's cart before the horse jibe was a cherry on the top. It doesn't get
We've
better than that.
Before.
I was on the floor.
Did you fix the door? We didn't get the
end
of the story.
Yeah, no, it was. It broke into about 5 pieces.
Just the one panel?
But the problem with it now, if the bathroom light is on and there's no light in the other room, you can see through like this. So I have to get some of that wood putty and fill
yeah,
it
yeah, yeah,
so the light doesn't shine.
You can't get a new piece of wood?
The whole panel?
Yeah, the whole panel.
You just broke one panel of the door?
Yeah, it shattered the panel.
So why don't you get a new panel?
Can you do that?
Or just make one out of like good plywood.
Yeah.
I suppose I
quarter
could do
inch
that.
Plywood yeah. or something.
But the in-laws are coming today. I had to be fast. I couldn't what happened to the door, Fred?
Put my fist through.
Well, you know, I figured I'd be like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, you know.
Oh man.
Should I take my grandson away?
Or your wife?
Right. Yeah, she would kick his ass if she wanted to. I would take her in every fight.
Oh, okay.
he knows it's true.
How was that?
She would kick your ass.
Nobody kicks my ass. Bill in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Just
you get much beaver out there, do you?
Just read on every sport pointless nonsense. Oh, okay.
It's our show.
It's ESPN. It's
an acronym
every
for
sport
ESPN.
Pointless nonsense Boston. That we were awarded 4 compensatory picks.
Some
segue
yes.
into what we were going to talk about after the break. It reported that we have more picks than any other team this year. My question is, how many of those will we use?
All 12.
Versus how many will we trade away? Do you see us picking up extra works in progress receivers with those 6th and 7th round picks? And just a random question, is that Jason and Rook on the American Airlines commercial you guys play? The one where one guy has the smartphone and the other guy has a cordless phone from home?
No.
Because we have been known to do things like that in the past, at least with Patriot Place commercials, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's not. Mm-hmm. That would have been great.
Nope.
But the compensatory picks we haven't mentioned. They
3 7s and a 6.
Not what Adam Schefter first tweeted, which was 3/3 and a 6.
That would have been nice.
Would have been tremendous.
Yeah.
We could have started signing restricted free agents. We could have everything. But no, 3 7s. And Fred doesn't care about, what'd you say, anything after the 4th round?
Right. I'd like to trade 4 through 7 this year for somebody's 2nd round pick.
How about a 1st round pick?
So then we have 5.
You gave him away that many picks.
5 picks in the first 2 rounds, and then we're done. And that's it.
I'd be okay with that.
We go home Friday, and it's done.
I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
Not having to come on Saturday. But you can't trade those. He's talking about
deals. You can't trade compensatory picks.
That's true.
So those are 4
that's
locks
true.
Of
yeah.
guys.
But you
in
can
the
trade the
seven.
Other low picks
right.
that you do have and maybe move up a little bit.
Certainly. And Bill had a funny line about the trading because one of the topics that we've discussed with Nick Caserio, they talked with Bill the other day, is the new format of the draft, the 1st round,
yeah.
then the day 2, 2nd, and 3rd, the rest of the draft, everything. The kind of teams resetting their boards in the, you know, sleeping on it, quote unquote.
Yep. The consensus trades. Seems to be that that's going to help New England.
Well, the consensus, it could. Because they're going to be in that 2nd round. They can move up. Teams, you know, they'll have a
more
lot of
time to debate what they want to do. And
to hear from teams, to approach other teams, do different things. But he said one of his lines was sometimes you're sitting on a pick and you would take anything for that pick. You just want to get out of that spot. You would take a case of beer, a gift certificate, whatever anyone offered. I thought it was a little
Bill said that?
Personality from the coach.
Hmm.
Probably the time when they accidentally drafted David Gibbons.
I never said that.
4 times.
Dave in Connecticut, it seems to me the Patriots always wait to negotiate contracts with their players after their contract expires.
No.
Then the player is a restricted free agent or simply a free agent. I have a major issue with this. 2 or 3 years into a contract, if you feel that the player is worth it, why not negotiate an extension? This could be to the team's advantage as you are only bidding against yourself. Why wait till the contract is up and you're bidding against the rest of the league? The team's way of thinking has cost them many great players in the past. Your thoughts? P.S. I'm tired of watching the draft picks become great only to move on to other teams. I would just do everything wrong. I just can't believe it.
Well, and they've signed endless players, good and great, to extensions during their contracts.
They just did it with... you know, Tom Brady's first contract was before
Richard Seymour, yeah. Ty Warren, right? Jarvis Green, Mike Vrabel, the entirety of the offensive line, basically, except for Logan Mankins. I don't know what he did wrong.
Right.
Everybody. I mean, they do it a ton of the time.
We just
at their own cost, I think. Like Jarvis Green, I think, was a mistake. They gave him more money than I think he was worth.
Yep.
They did it with Mike Wright last year.
Yes, they did.
They did it with Mark LaVore last year. They did it with Nick Cazier last year.
One of the things I did on my solo
Sam
show.
Sam Aiken?
You didn't have a solo show, so let's move past that. You had the greatest filler in the history of sports radio, Brian Lowe, on with you.
Well, one of the things I was talking about is that, you know, we get all upset about the slightest little move. If we were a fan of another team and put that team under the same microscope that we put the Patriots, these fans would go crazy because, you know, this is going on with every team, and a lot of teams do it a hell of a lot worse than the Patriots, obviously.
That's part of being a fan, though.
You know?
That's how it works.
It's just relax. Just relax.
No, you don't
it's
want
March.
Fans. Fred, you don't
There's
want
no
fans
offseason.
We have careers because fans don't relax.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know everything. They want to react to everything. They want to listen to the discussion.
But this whole thing about they don't do it, you know, they always do this, and they're always doing that. And
they're fans, Fred. Let them go. They're fanatics.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
What, would you rather they're... Nah, I won't say it.
but do a little research before, you know.
They are.
That's
listen
what we're
to
here
us.
For. Yeah.
Charles
and they always let the contracts get to the end.
Charles says, nice show. I'm in Florida listening in on the broadcast. I have a question for you. Who do you really think the Patriots are going to bring in this year as far as draftable wide receivers, you know, bring them in to look at? I think Eric Decker and Carlton Mitchell keep up the good work, and he's from Vero Beach.
Well, Decker really can't do anything right now. He's recovering from a foot surgery, and I don't think he's going to be ready until, I think they said, end of August maybe. So if you draft him...
He's Brandon Tate.
And if you bring him in, you're bringing him in for an interview purpose only, not for a workout. He's going to be, exactly, be like Brandon Tate was last year. You're bringing him in on potential as opposed to, you know... what you are going to make him do right then and there. He wouldn't – I think he's a good player, and I think he'd be a good player to draft with potential like they did with Tate, but don't expect anything right away with him.
Cormac writes in, just saw the big head on NFL Network going on about Kindle being the man the Pats may want. I thought you guys thought he was an ass during the combine.
Do.
It's so funny watching Andy on NFL Network. He's trying to be so serious and professional. If they only knew the truth. It's true. You know, Andy, not only that, he'll be on stage with Todd McShay, Teddy Bruschi, Mike
Will
Reese
I?
For this draft season ticket holder draft event on April 3rd.
And in
These
light of that,
really
I
are huge.
Actually changed my name to PFW Writer because
yeah.
That's how I'm referred to throughout the literature.
It's like Michael Smith, Mike Reese, and PFW Writer.
I'm going to call him ESPN Boston Writer and ESPN Know Nothing.
Ooh.
That'd be Michael Smith.
Yes.
What did you
Todd McEgo.
What did you think about that script, though? Was it okay?
It needs some tweaking.
You got some problems with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one of them is, I don't know if I let the cat out, they want to do a fact or fiction thing like they do on TV. Fact or fiction? The Patriots will get at least three starters.
Four.
No, at least three out of their second-round picks.
Fiction.
They only have three.
Fiction.
So they can't get any more than that unless one guy's starting both ways. It's just a bad question. Nobody in their right mind is going to say fact.
Right.
Except maybe you, but
I'm not
last year
the
they
stage.
Had a good second round. No, they're going to ask the crowd, too. Hold up, like, fact.
Oh, right.
You know how they have the show and the votes
yeah.
and I don't know. That I thought was flawed. They're also the lead-in. From 6 to 6:15 is like Floyd Reese, the Crafts, Michael Smith, introduction of the panel, a complete overview of how the Patriots approach the draft, an explanation of the CBA and the uncapped year. All in 15 minutes. And then it's like an hour 45 for panel to just like,
Yeah, it needs a little tweaking. I'll take care of it.
Hamza in Toronto. Highlights Joe. From Tuesday's show. Approximately
Hamza is Joe.
Hamza?
Yeah, it's Joe. Andy didn't like his name, so he said, you can call me Joe or whatever.
Okay.
Because he called me Big Head before I knew who he was.
I think I'm comfortable calling him.
These are the highlights of Tuesday's show, according to Hamza. Approximately 12:30, in a discussion about future Hall of Famer Tom Brady being replaced by future draft bust Tim Tebow, Fred foreshadows the end of Brady's career by calling the Florida QB Tom Tebow. B-Lo laughs and then proceeds to do the exact same thing 30 seconds later. 1:05, just about an hour now of B-Lo and Fred being complete homers and ending every debate with, I completely agree. Or, I think the Patriots are correct. Or, right. 1:35, Fred's back on Tebow now, but now he calls him Tim Tebow, you know, like the TV recording thing. I wait patiently for him to say Tom Tebow and thus completely lose any relationship to the actual name, but he lets me down. Blah, 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 blah. 1:46, Fred looks at a picture of Giselle in a magazine, pauses creepily, and says, I don't know who her trainer is, but that's some good work there. In short, to Eric, Paul, and Andy, never leave again. Sorry, Fred. Tuesday was okay, but after an hour of you and B-Lo agreeing with each other about everything, even controversial topics, I was begging for Paul to call you guys out on something or for Andy to make a wisecrack or at least go all high-pitched. P.S. Good job, Andy, on NFL Network this week. Unlike most local team reporters, you were informative and objective.
Objective. There's that word again.
You hate the Patriots. Good email.
That was a good email.
So, like, gotten to be one of our better ones. Can you give us an example of maybe a controversial topic you discussed and both agreed on? Like Brady? Did something come up with Brady?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of criticism of Brady, you know, in his workout. And while we were on the show,
he showed up.
We broke the news that he showed up. So,
but neither of you had a problem that he wasn't
of
here.
Of course not.
Oh. Even the owner admitted he'd rather have him here. The
How long
head
was
of Patriots Nation.
About 20 minutes. 20, 25 minutes.
Now, was he on to sort of refute what you and B-Lo were agreeing with each other on? Or did you just sort of talk?
We were talking about things that were going on at
the owner's meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's ESPN Boston.
Did a live report.
Yeah. Speaking of Giselle, James from Pittsburgh says, what about making Giselle the new host of Patriots Today? It's not a bad
that
idea.
That would be a coup.
Sure, but she gets $1 million to talk to you.
Other possibilities are Sarah Palin.
Oh, that
Beth
would be
Stern.
Good. You betcha.
Howard Stern's wife, Erin Andrews, or even Vince Wilfork's wife.
Ho, ho. I just want to stay consistent.
Erin Andrews.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
Wow.
She looks pretty good on Dancing with the Stars. I was flipping through and saw her the other night. She looks pretty good.
Yeah.
She's not on
there because she's a good reporter.
And she grabbed the guy's butt.
Really?
Who's the partner? No. The announcer.
The local guy, I think.
Oh, yeah. Bergeron. Tom
Bergeron.
Yeah.
She was doing something, and they were doing an interview, and she, like, grabbed his butt. It was weird.
Good for him.
You know? She likes to grab butts.
Especially her own, from what we've seen on that video.
Mark in Nova Scotia, I was wondering if you caught some of the shots toward Brady this week. Belichick was asked what type of boxer Brady would be. Belichick was quick to answer somebody that gets knocked down. And then Dan Copen poked fun at him today about his PSA ad for Earth Hour. According to Rappaport, he was asked if Brady got grief for showing up late to workouts. Nah, not necessarily for that. He got a lot more grief for that Earth Day 30-second ad he did. It was just fun. He deserved it. He understood it. But it was for a good cause, so whatever. Seems like Brady has a good sense of humor.
I disagree with Bill. I've seen Tom throw a few punches. I think he could hang. And especially for what he looks like. I mean, he's kind of a tall, skinny.
He looks like he would be a guy who would get knocked down. But
I think if you underestimated him, he could surprise you and knock you the bleep out.
Plus, he's 6'4". He's got the long arms.
Right. And he's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Works out for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Who was this? Somebody was saying that he looks in the best shape he's ever looked right now.
Probably
right
you.
Now.
Well.
Right now.
Because you couldn't because that was last year
Maybe
in training camp.
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything about shape. I said he's had the best training camp he ever had. And I was right.
Has he gotten a haircut yet?
I was right. Who decided you were right?
He did. Fred decided.
There's no doubt that was his best training camp.
It's best to evaluate a person's training camp after the fact.
Andy, that's the dumbest thing you've said.
It was his best training camp.
You may believe that. That's fine.
What
that's
do you
opinion.
Believe?
When I do not believe it was his best training
camp. What was his best training camp?
I have no idea. I'd have to go back to my notes.
I know.
Okay, tell me his second best training camp. What did last year surpass?
No. Having a good training camp doesn't always translate into
you
having a good
You
want
to know his second best training
yes,
camp?
Yes, I do.
2001, when he leapfrogged and they realized this guy Right? See, I know. Jordan in Ireland.
So full of crap.
Jordan in Ireland loved the show. Been listening to the last few months now, and I'm glad the rest of the group is back. The lack of arguing Tuesday between Fred and Bilo was disgraceful. Bring back the sparks. So much for all these people. You argue too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, I only
is this
have
a new Irish guy, Jordan.
Jordan, I've never heard from Jordan before. I don't think
Jordan could be a woman's name.
Hope he didn't
could
attend
be.
Church over there.
You're hoping. Little Irish lass.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Giddy up.
Anyway,
then
I
maybe
don't
you could have kids and be a disciplinarian.
I only have one real
plus they
question.
They get liquored up, so you got a chance. If she's a drunk Irish girl, she'll pass out in a bed with her legs.
I can
in
just
say it. Brilliant.
Don't ever bother me while I'm painting and just like, hitting the kid with a paintbrush.
I thought he drew. I didn't think he painted. I thought he.
No, it's
he's
the other way
dabbling
around.
Dabbling in paint now. Oh,
no, not yeah. dabbling. That's
after,
what I do.
Oh, after popular demand, he had dabbling.
But you don't do it. No, you tell me, you know, I can't do it during the season. I don't have time. And now are you doing it? No, I had to go to the combine. Now I'm doing work. You got to get off the procrastination thing that you're on. Just make time. Make time and do it.
Okay. After the show, I'm going
and
home and
then you're
going
to be running for
how's
Congress,
that?
And so now you're not going to have time again, right?
He's running for Congress?
Patrick Kennedy seat?
Considering state legislature.
There you go.
I don't think you'll ever win. No offense. And it's got nothing to do with your popularity, but it's a state run by mobsters and shady deals.
And I'm
you've got no chance.
January, we're going to lay more pipe.
How do you know? You know his parents are bikers, right?
Yeah, his mother likes a good hog.
Yeah. Oh, see now.
It's a Harley. They call Harleys hogs. I don't have a hog. She's never ridden my hog.
You certainly don't have a hog. That's
Jordan says, anyway, I have one real question. Why do you expect the pass to actually take? Who do you expect the pass to actually take in the first round? And if the Lions are still shopping the second pick, would they potentially make a move for it? I've been looking at mock drafts from idiots such as Bucky Brooks.
He is an
idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Who
don't
had Bradford going 26 in one draft and just wanted to see where people with actual knowledge stood.
He had Bradford going 26?
He did, and he had something else ridiculous.
Oh, God.
He had somebody in, like, the top six that
who
was.
Who is he?
Just NFL.com, NFL.
Oh, he's on a legitimate site?
NFL.com.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on NFL.com.
You know, that really bothers me. No.
I'm going to say it.
I know that, you know, creating mock drafts and scouting the way Kuiper does and Tommy, it's very difficult because, you know, you don't have all the information that some of these scouts have. But some of these guys put, you know, guys in mock drafts just to be different.
Right.
That, to me, that is disgraceful, you know, it, because you're supposed to come out as an expert. When you do that, you're just making a mockery of the mock draft.
That's why it's called a mock
they
draft.
They do it so that they get hit, so that people read it,
yeah,
talk
but that's
about
the
it.
Wrong reason to do it.
Well,
you know.
Not if your boss likes it and gives you a raise.
You know, you should be out there trying to prove how
I've been
smart
trying to sell
are,
out for years.
You know? You should be looking for accuracy.
You should, and then you get the and it's the same thing that goes back to that emailer before who was complaining about all the reporters, the local reporters who were hounding Bill with questions. You're getting pressure from your higher-ups to do something different than the crowd so that you'll get traffic to your site or your newspaper or your TV show or whatever.
I know, but
So these people are getting pressure to say, look, your mock draft looks exactly like Andy Hart's or whoever's.
Right.
You got to do something different. You got to do something that'll generate comments, that'll get people talking
about. So
make
Bradford up. Bottom of the round
I
pick.
Guess so, but if you're like that and you're consistently wrong, then you're going to lose your credibility.
People forget, though.
I know.
People do.
They just see a mock draft comes around.
Right.
And they
read
it.
That's also the beauty of this thing, because no one can really say you're wrong. It's my opinion, you know?
Right.
That's what I thought.
Right.
I'm going with it. They're going to finally draft the pass rusher this year. I'm going with it.
But
all in.
We need to really – somebody needs to really go back, and I know they've done it to certain degrees, but really, like, go back 6 years in, with each guy – and grade
go over
how
their draft.
The experts have done, you know, with their final mock draft.
Well, we can go. We can look at past issues of the PFW
we
draft.
Have some of it, yeah.
Issue because we have like six of them, including our own. So we can compare ours to everybody else.
We could come out with our own grades of the draft.
But what's accurate?
is accurate guy should have gone there or the guy did go there.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? Like, if somebody says
Raiders
Michael Crabtree,
what actually happened.
They should have taken Michael Crabtree, not Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah, but that's subjective.
The Raiders screwed that up, not the guy with the mock draft.
That's subjective. What Fred is saying is go with the objective.
It's not just that. It's I thought Jamarcus Russell would be a legitimate first-round star, and he's not. So that guy was just wrong.
Todd McEgo.
Yeah.
Loved Jamarcus Russell.
Right.
Thought he was a star.
So those are the kind of greats, too.
I hope you call him that to his
But
base.
He gets his name on the rundown sheet, and I'm just PFW writer.
I hope you call him that to his face.
I won't. That would be unprofessional and just... I mean, I'm picking a fight.
You know, well, I was just going to say, if a fight broke out on stage...
PFW writer hits Todd McShay.
Season ticket holders would love it. They'd love it.
Yes.
It'd be like MMA.
As people have pointed out, when the time arises, I'm professional. That's what I do.
I don't know how big Todd McShay is, but I'll take Andy in that
fight.
Oh,
I know how. And he's a pretty boy punani. There's no doubt.
Whoa!
How big is he?
I don't know. I could be going down the Tom Brady road here, and he's like an MMA guy.
Well, that would be something if Andy just walked over and headbutted the guy.
Well, it would be over.
His
it would be over.
Like a grapefruit. You know?
That's what he'd have to do.
Yeah.
It would be over, you mean my career, my life.
Everything would be over. The fight, your career.
Right. I think I'll stay away from that and just sit in the corner when they say, PFW Writer, do you have an opinion? I'll say, yes.
Then McShay will say something and he'll forget. And then
they better not take a shot at like Bradford or something, because then I'll have to. Gloves will come off.
Oh, boy.
Like some idiot today was talking. I read a scouting report on Ryan Perilou. I don't know how you say it. Is that how you say it?
Perilou,
the kid from LSU that ended up Jacksonville State.
Mm-hmm.
A coach who coached him claims talent-wise, athletic ability, he's a Bo Jackson.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yourself.
Wait a minute.
Dumber than anything Fred's ever said to compare that punk to Bo Jackson. By the way, I didn't know this until I read a story recently. They're now saying the fastest... somewhat verified time at the combine was Bo, 4.18, they're giving him credit for.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah. There are other myths and this and that, but something they can kind of validate, Bo Jackson, 4.18.
How can they kind of validate? Have validation?
How did Taylor Mays run between a 4.2 and a 4.7 this year? I mean, because they have the handheld that ends with a handheld. They start with a handheld, end with an electric eye. They have all kinds of issues with that. I agree with most people. How do all these track meets, world track meets, I mean, Michael Phelps can beat a guy by a fingernail, but we can't get a 40 at the combine.
Exactly.
Are they not investing enough money?
They're running at the same time.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It should be a start and a finish, electric.
But if they're running at the same time.
Then have them all run at the same time.
Then, you know, it's a little easier
to judge
who won.
That would be really exciting.
Group, line them up across the field and have 20
that would be pretty cool.
If you get like an Olympic swim meet, have 8 lanes. And you can fit 8 people across the field.
That would be awesome.
Have them all run at the same time.
You know what? I have a better idea.
I doubt
it. Let's turn the damn combine into a track meet where you have different events and they compete against each other.
Shot put,
that's
javelin.
What it is.
But
they
not,
just do
not
it one at a time.
Like we have, you know, seeds and heats and you have an eventual champion.
A combine champion.
Combine champion.
Yeah.
His name's Ben Watson.
Mike I don't Malula. Know what it says about his NFL career.
or maybe you have the combine, but this is another event like after the combine.
I just think they should be able to get a 40 time.
I think they should be able to get an accurate 40 time. Yeah.
Aaron writes in, hey, fellas. Glad to have the starters back this week, minus the fat man on PUP. So what do you think of the Jets being on Hard Knocks? Will they
fare
as well as the Bengals did last year, or will they implode like the Cowboys and Chiefs did? Or will it have no effect whatsoever?
No, I don't think it'll have an effect.
Should be entertaining.
Well, it'll
and
have
you know
some
the
effect.
Pats will find some bulletin board material from it. Got to get back to work. P.S. What is a nut wizard? Sounds like the college nickname of Eric Skelly. Oh, no, I can't read that.
Can't read that. I just
anyway.
Didn't. I can't.
What did you think about them being on?
I think it's great.
Obviously, they need the exposure. They need to sell the seats.
Well, they also know that Rex Ryan is the kind of coach who will say things that will get people watching. And you have other elements on the team, the Bart Scotts and players
even
like
Sanchez
him.
Sanchez is
kind
friendly,
of
right. Star friendly.
So you have all the elements. They're in the big TV market, New York. So you'll get people to watch.
They're coming off a title game appearance.
Right. They're not like the Bengals.
Right.
They're
awful. A legit contender, a Super Bowl contender.
I think it's a great move for the HBO has
that?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very entertaining. I think it's going to be real because they're a good team.
Now
you have interest in as a Patriots fan. They're your competition for the division.
It'll have an effect in that you'll have cameras following you basically 24/7, and that's got to
that's got to factor into how you run your practice and the things that you know. So
you can't measure it, but it's not good. It's like Brady not being here for workouts. I don't know what effect it has, but it's not good.
And I know
it'd be better if you were here.
The NFL is very careful about, you know, they have an agreement with the team that nothing gets out live, you know, without approval and all that stuff. But it has to affect the way.
But that's time that you have to dedicate to looking at that, screening the footage that you could be doing other things.
Yeah.
It's not ideal.
No, but
as Mr. Kraft said, it's not ideal.
No. Which is why it'll never happen in this organization.
I don't want it to.
I don't want it to either,
but I'm just
saying. But I'll watch the Jets one, and I'll be damn entertained, I guarantee it, every week.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
But I tell you what, though, if the Patriots ever did decide to do it under a Belichick-Brady regime, that would be a huge ratings grab, too, because people would want to see goes on.
Right up until they saw Bill day after day not say anything.
You must be in another galaxy somewhere. There's no way that would happen.
You know what would be funny is, like, Bill knows, like, this is my last year. So I'm just going to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
He just lets loose on a Hard Knocks.
That'll be the cue. If the Patriots ever go on Hard Knocks, it's Bill's last year.
Yeah. Paul writes in, may I suggest...
Perillo?
No, that Perillo? The reason most teams win by a field goal in their first drive in overtime is once that team gets to their opponent's 35-yard line, they get conservative because most teams have a field goal kicker that is supposed to make that kick. I don't see this as anything but a step sideways. I guess the new rule he's talking about.
No. Now you have incentive to score the touchdown.
Yes.
You win the game.
Right. If you kick the field goal,
you
give the other team the ball.
Right.
And they could get a touchdown and win.
Or match. And
or if they match, then you have to go sudden death, and then anything can happen.
Who's going to really have the you-know-what when you have the first position?
You said ball six times earlier.
When you have the first...
Didn't he? He said nut.
No, he said balls. There's no doubt he said balls.
Who's going to be the coach that has the balls when it's, you know, third and whatever on the first possession and you're in field goal position not to go for the field goal?
Bill Belichick.
You think so?
I don't know. Fourth and two. Hello.
If Peyton Manning's on the other team, yes, he'll be going for the touchdown. He will not allow Peyton Manning to match. I know for a fact he's not going to allow Peyton Manning to come on the field.
Super Bowl 42, fourth and 13.
Yeah.
They threw the ball.
Yeah.
But that was like a 49-yard
field goal.
49-yard field. I'm talking about like
indoors, on grass.
If it's a 35-yarder.
A good kicker.
You know, it's going to be a tough decision to go for it.
Is WrestleMania at University of Phoenix Field? Can you look that up? Saw a commercial that looked like they were showing fireworks and stuff from that stadium, and that'd be a cool place.
That'd be a great venue to see wrestling, yeah.
I don't know much about wrestling anymore. I think it's this weekend, actually. 29th or 8th or something.
Doc's looking it up. Feverishly.
Costs like $55, I think, now, though. Ridiculous.
Like, you can only get to park here if you did that.
Anthony writes in, if Jared Odrick and Taylor Mays are on the board with the Pats pick at 22, which one
Odrick.
Do you think
Odrick.
Would be a better fit?
Yep, Odrick.
Okay.
I'm scared to death of Taylor Mays.
WrestleMania is at University of Phoenix Stadium.
Wow. This weekend?
So that, I believe, the 28th or something? 29th? 7th?
19th.
19th?
That means that was last Friday.
You idiot.
Was it last Friday?
I don't think it happened yet.
Or is it April
19th? No, they've been advertising it on TV.
Yeah, I saw it last night, and that's where I saw the stadium. And I.
Right.
Sorry, I read that wrong. It was the kickoff party was on the 19th. It's actually Sunday the 28th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was supposed to do a podcast yesterday with Doc at 2:15. 2:06, I pick up my phone for a call. You're late. It's 2:06. Then I get down here. Brad Feldman is in studio doing a show. So we didn't even start on time, but at 2:06, I was late for Tom Coughlin Jr. over here.
Times to you. I'll get on my hands and knees. I misspoke.
Marvin from Kernersville, North Carolina. Andy.
Yes.
I see some people think that Jerry Hughes from TCU may fall to the second round. If that were to happen, would you move up in the round to get him?
I think he's intriguing production-wise. As a second-round pick, sure, I'll take him.
Would you move up to get him?
Probably not. Because if I'm taking him, I think I want him to be my second guy. I would love to get Kindle and Hughes, and then I have the guy with the measurables that fits the system and the guy with the production, and, you know, one of them will be good.
See which one pans out.
Or both can pan out, and, you know, then I have a decent pass rush, a game-changing type pass rush. I think the need is big enough, so it wouldn't be ridiculous to take two guys there.
Do you think, though, if this is the year, like you said, that they finally pick the pass rusher?
Let's have faith.
But
what about faith and positive thinking here on PFW and Progress? This is the year we get it done.
Okay.
We go for a pass rusher with our number one.
But seeing how almost every pass rusher doesn't fit the 6-4-4-6 mold.
Sure.
Right? But you have the smaller guys who've made plays. in more attacking style defenses.
Sure.
Is the natural conclusion that Bill's going to change his 3-4, 2-gap read and react to more of a Steelers type 3-4,
one-gap
attacking?
I mean, Kendall is pretty close.
Defense.
He's in the 4.6s. He's 6'3", so he's a little shorter. He's pretty big. Could probably bulk up if he had to, if they asked him to.
But would he be able to make the plays if he bulked up a little bit more?
He didn't really make the plays when he wasn't bulked up at Texas, so that would be my hesitation with him. He was good when he was opposite, what's his name, Brian Arakpo.
Yeah.
He had 0 sacks, 0 sacks, 10 sacks, 6 or 5 last year. He has played end and outside linebacker. I think the Muschamp connection is part of the key. Just what he
thinks
of him, his recommendation, the coaching he got, the transition, maybe half the techniques he did at Texas.
But I wonder
immediately.
I wonder if Bill, now taking a more active role in the defense, will realize that the players he has or will have after this draft might be more suited to that type of defense than the defense that he's used to running.
Well, I think he's tweaking it. We've talked about that a little bit with inside linebacker, a little more athletic,
the
run stuffer.
You know, we don't run 3-4 as much as we used to.
Right. Well, you can't.
But even the type of 3-4 they run.
But we're talking more about the read and react, whether it's 4-3, 3-4. Are you asking a guy to be powerful and hold at the line of scrimmage, or are you giving him some opportunities to be athletic and go get it?
Right.
Taz writes, and count me as not being a fan of the compensatory pick system. Our organic 6th and 7th rounders will be used as sweeteners to move up slightly. They wouldn't be enough to get us out of the 4th round with that pick, but would move it higher in the 4th. My gut feeling is one of the 2nd rounders will be traded for a veteran, and that our organic 1st rounder next year is in play for this year. The Raiders pick next year makes us rich for next year's draft all by itself. Jake Locker. Should be a fun weekend.
Were you coughing, or was that part of the email?
That's part of the email.
Oh. Wow, we're looking for a quarterback. Uh-huh. Everybody's
quarterback of the future,
Something that was posed in SPFW, Fred, I'd like to get your opinion on, since you seem to love the 2nd round. Would Tampa Bay, picks 35 and 42.
Yeah.
Would you trade those two picks for number 22? And you would have 5 second round picks.
And no first rounders.
And no first rounder.
I'd make that decision at the time. I'm not ruling it out.
Depending on who falls or who doesn't?
Right. I would leave that open. I wouldn't rule it out.
At the time, you'll go on the clock at 22.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a trade that you'd be gaining, according to the trade value chart, like a 250 points, like a 3rd-round pick.
Yeah, right.
You're winning.
Yeah, they'd have to be in love with somebody at 22, and we would have to obviously not.
I just don't know that I'd do it.
You'd be really disappointing your fan base, too, if you did that. I'm sorry.
I don't know, though. 5 picks in the first.
But
you know,
but playmakers generally go higher in the draft.
Yes,
that's how it works.
Exactly.
You need playmakers. Take them higher. You got a better chance.
Right.
Anybody can be wrong anywhere. But
I know. But if out of those 5 picks in the first 23 picks of the 2nd round, I'm going to get at least one playmaker. I would think.
I would hope you'd get at least one.
Either way, you're going to get at least one, whether you pick 22.
Well,
and
I don't know.
3.
But
you still have 3 in the 2nd.
I now have 5 instead of 4. And they're all, and I've only gone
you
down.
You have zero confidence in Bill Belichick then, because it's all about numbers to you. I need him to pick a lot, because he's not going to hit very often.
This is like Brandon Merriweather's explanation about tackling.
Exactly. The first 5 can miss if the 6th makes it.
Yeah.
No, I want the first guy to make
it.
Then the 2nd guy can cause a turnover.
Well, I don't know.
You have lost all faith in Belichick's drafting. Boy, he wants to run the quarterback out of town. No faith in Belichick's drafting. And we're the negative ones.
I think
Wes Welker, what did he score? 4 touchdowns? Irrelevant
little
guy.
Right now, if we can get more picks in the first 2 rounds, because we need a lot of different players.
Yeah, but I'd like for some of those picks to be in the first round.
If you hit on your 4, you're okay, because it means you probably added a pass rusher, a tight end, a wide receiver, and something else. Right? You just have no confidence that he's going to hit.
We'll see.
Just say it.
I just think that first pick's going to be a guard. Or
it's
going to be a tight end.
No.
Well, if it's a good tight end, Gronkowski. We'll have 2 Guskowski-type names on the team.
Let's see. Terry is in New Haven. I believe this is the first email from him.
Tate? Office linebacker?
No. I've been thinking about the great debate.
Glenn?
I would vote for the 19-0 and the 4th title over
this 10 years.
And I wanted to tweak it a little bit. Would you rather have option A, what happened, 3 or 4 Super Bowls from 2001 to 2004 and the 07-18-1 season with the heartbreaking Super Bowl loss, or option B, Super Bowl wins in 01, 04, and 07, 19-0, but a loss in 03 versus the Panthers. Still three Super Bowls plus a 19-0 season, but no three in 4 years or the 21-game win streak.
Or back-to-back.
Yeah, I think somebody's brought that up, the no back-to-back, but I can't envision a scenario where I wouldn't want the 19-0 season.
I'm with you. I'm with you. That's history.
Yeah,
No one's ever done that.
Right. And nobody ever will, apparently, because teams like the Colts will just lay down and then
now they're
going to
make all late season games will be division games. You see that?
I don't
understand how that matters. If the Colts are
and if you've 14 wrapped up your division,
one,
right,
it doesn't matter who they're playing.
Right.
Right.
And the other thing another thing they said that didn't make sense this week is with the overtime thing. Well, you know, we want it for the playoffs because that's one and done. But you know, if in the regular season there's 15 other games. Well, not if it's like week 14 and you needed to get into the playoffs.
Right.
You know,
a lot of playoff decisions come down to one game.
Right.
A lot of late season regular season games are playoff atmosphere games.
Right. Exactly. So,
which is why I think Commissioner hopefully is right. They'll put it in the regular. That's one of my biggest beefs. I don't like having different rules regular.
And by the way,
post.
They should put it in the preseason too, right?
To get used to it,
right? Just in case of an overtime
game. No, they shouldn't. Just I want preseason games to end as fast as possible.
It doesn't have to be here, but
it doesn't have to be. Wait a minute. Other teams can experiment.
We don't have to have an overtime game here.
We're not going to.
Well, how else are they going to experiment with it in the preseason?
No, they don't need to experiment with it. They can learn on the fly.
It's not really that difficult.
Plus, get Madden if you want to come up with all the examples. Go play on your stupid little computer.
Larry the Drunk, just thought I'd drop in. It's been a while. I've been busy with my first year of college, doing journalism, focusing mainly on radio. And no, before you get a big head, I was not inspired by you. Could someone please not let Brian Lowe on the show again?
Big.
I was polishing my trusty shotgun.
Oh, wow. I thought you were polishing something else. I thought you had a thing for B-Low. You wanted him to B-Low you.
Wow. Cedric in Chicago, I was very pleased to hear
him to
that
talk forever and not take a breath. Is that what you want?
I was pleased to hear that we re-signed Vince Wilfork. He is a great guy and a great patriot. Kevin Falk, another great guy and a great patriot. And Stephen Neal, Tully Bantakane, is a nice player, but he is not a pass rusher playmaker, unfortunately. All the big name free agents are gone. It looks like we only have the draft to address that pass rusher situation.
Yep.
According to you, what are the next steps in our off-season purchases? Fred, the too pushy, no pussy episode, crack me up. I saved that show, and I have been playing it over and over again.
The next step is
the draft. Maybe
RFA.
I'm starting to lose faith in that.
I'm starting
sure
to.
There will be people available that aren't available today.
Yeah, but
Dallas Thomas.
You can't bank on that. You can't base your offseason on, oh, there's going to be somebody available later. No, I mean, you've got to go after the people you think want.
Do you think that a team would give a third-round pick for Dallas Thomas?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
He's not worth that?
No. I don't know. I'm reading on the internet that he was the worst linebacker in football last year based on that stupid site that – site I brought all the papers with?
Yeah.
They did another thing on tackles.
The agent's website that we thought – well, we thought it was
Neil.
The agent's website.
Thanks, Neil.
Neil
Cornrich. Was it Pro Football Focus maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
They had Thomas as like the worst linebacker in football.
The worst?
Apparently Pierre Woods didn't register or something because no offense, Pierre, but I guess it's kind of offensive.
Peter.
Yeah, either way, it's offensive.
Peter is in Ireland. He says he's still sobering up from St. Paddy's Day. Unfortunately, so this will have to be a quickie. And yes, Andy, that's what she said. Glad to see our big guys back, but with moves from the rest
of
our
Peter with a quickie.
But with the moves from the rest of our division, it seems we may be standing still right now. I know it's a while to the new season, but forward progress would be good. A few questions with the draft. What would you think of going Golden Tate with our first pick?
Like it.
Or would he be available later?
Probably
Carlos
not.
Dunlap in the second.
Not a big fan.
Ricky Sapp, and then just for Fred, Toby Gerhart. Sure. Obviously, this is very optimistic, but hey, you New Englanders are glass half full guys, right?
Not on this show. I'm not sure that's overly
optimistic. Just out of interest, if it all broke right, what would be your ideal first few picks, obviously barring 31 Oakland Raider draft-style screw-ups? Thanks, guys.
First
few picks?
Few picks?
If it broke right?
First few Patriot picks?
No, I think he means overall, right?
Oh, no. He needs
for Patriots. Yeah, like a pass rusher, a Brandon Graham playmaker type pass rusher.
Graham or Kendall? I'll be satisfied if they draft Graham or Kendall.
Kendall looks like he's a little meaner than Graham. Yes? No?
Maybe. I think he's a little
as
dumber.
A player.
Yeah. more of a mean streak to
him? I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
Because
I
mean, he's underachieved. And generally, yeah, mean guys with an attitude
don't
achieve.
Underachieve.
They meet their potential.
Yeah.
He has not met his potential, and you just hope he'll do it at the pro level. After that,
so that
I would like, how about we get Damian Williams, wide receiver, USC?
Sure.
Javid Best, running back, Cal.
That would be a good one.
And Rob Gronkowski. Yeah.
Yeah.
Body catcher, doesn't use his hands.
You have no
don't
idea.
Like him.
You think Jonathan Dwyer is better than CJ Spiller.
Don't
your
like
credibility.
Him.
Remember how you said those people in mock drafts
like,
say stupid stuff, lose credibility?
You like that Jason Shipley character.
I like Shipley, and I like the other kid, the 6'3 kid, the huge
Cooper
kid.
Riley?
Thomas.
Thomas. Yeah,
from
Demarius.
Georgia Tech. I like him too.
Demarius Thomas. What's
Demarius
his name?
Thomas.
Demarius Thomas.
He's got
Demarius.
A foot problem too that he's
I like him.
Recovering from.
I know, but I like him a lot.
Fred likes guys that are big.
Not necessarily.
Yes. You like guys
Welker.
With big thighs. Jonathan Dwyer, Gerhart, Thomas.
A big bubble's good. Having
yes,
a big bubble.
He likes
what'd you
big
think of,
butts and he cannot lie.
Riley Cooper. I haven't seen Riley Cooper
haven't
yet.
Seen that yet?
No.
Remember you liked what's-her-name on the Fox broadcasts because she had a big butt?
Pam Cross?
No,
Pam Oliver.
Yes, Pam Oliver.
Well, that was years ago. I mean, that was like 10 years
she's
ago.
She's still on the Fox
she's
broadcast.
Still on she's it. Awful. She's nowhere near
too
what
big
she used
now,
to be.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Really?
There's
oh.
a fine line between bah and ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, no, she used to be, you know. Pow!
We're going to have a Black Eyed Peas moment over here. Boom, boom, pow.
Why is it going to be Black Eyed?
What's the name of the group?
That? What do you mean by that?
Black
interesting.
Peas.
Speaking of Barack Obama.
let's see. Ooh. What?
Somebody just got beamed.
Ooh, right off the head, too. My
it's
God.
Radio. No one can see it. And it was a replay of last August. Jesus. You guys are terrible.
Still, it was awful.
You're not professional like I am. NFL Network, I can do what they need there. BBC, I can do what they need there.
Oh, boy.
Don't get distracted. Just can talk forever.
I can. I'm a man of many talents.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back there, chum.
I don't. I have others pat me on the back.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition.
We've got
BFW
3 minutes to go, Fred.
No, we don't.
Why
do you want
us changing
to go longer,
the
not shorter?
We always start the show 3 minutes late anyway.
My
Doc, for some reason, never starts at noon.
I know, but my clock says 2 o'clock, and I got things to do.
The clock no, you
is
don't.
3
what do you have
slow.
To do?
What?
What do you have to do?
I got things.
What?
Meetings?
I have a meeting.
Oh, you
on
always have a meeting.
In regards to?
It is a meeting.
Give him a minute. He'll think of something.
IBM is coming in to do something. Lighthouse. To do with PCI compliance,
White House
for
Awards?
Credit card, personal identifiable information.
Okay.
So there.
I thought IBM was now called Lenovo and Lenovo.
No, this is like a subsidiary of IBM. It's called Lighthouse.
Didn't you have something you wanted to announce?
Did I have something I wanted?
You came through the office holding your something.
What?
And is that not quite ready to be announced yet?
Oh, no. That. People have asked that they get live streaming for, of the show on their iPhones and Android. That's we're going to be able to do it.
Droid?
Yeah, I think it'll be ready for
Sweet.
The draft. So,
it was working this morning. It was live.
I
heard
Guerrero
you live.
Had me, test the BlackBerry
while he was holding,
version.
You
yesterday.
Were holding yourself live.
It was wow. It was working fine this morning. So, we'll have that up and running soon and launched on the next edition of the app.
So, anywhere people go with their iPhone, they'll be able to listen to our show live.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that a real yeah or a
maybe,
Fred
yeah.
Kirsch
yeah.
hesitation?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you have a connection.
So if you're jogging out with your iPhone, you can listen to us live.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, it's gonna you're gonna have to
app.
You're gonna have to use your 3G connection, you know, your phone connection.
What about 4G?
Or 4G. You won't have
Sorgy.
You won't be able to do a Wi-Fi because you're gonna be running around outside.
Obviously,
but, yeah.
You'd have to hit a lot of hotspots.
Right. But yeah, you're gonna be able to do that. So, all right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Hopefully, Paul will be back next Tuesday, and so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.